It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 26th day of October 2020, the first broadcast of our 16th broadcast year. Well, it's a Moran Monday. Kind of fitting, isn't it? And yes, we have Morans. Oh, yes, we do. So many. So much Morans. Yeah, hi, I'm Bob. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and on this first broadcast of our 16th year, thanks go out over the course of the weekend to our subscribers, the partial sponsors of the Horn. That would be thanks going to Peter. Thank you, Peter, and thank you very kindly to Mark and Mark, and thank you to Josh. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to Pam in Washington State. Thank you all so very much for helping to keep this program on the air over the years, and thank you to Jeremy in Vermont, first through the gate. For the broadcast this evening, that means our fundraising goal stands at $295. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. And we're going to try this new fundraising goal thingy and hope that it works. If it does, we will end October with pretty much everything paid so that there will be a November. Okay? We are one day and 1 week from the end of the election. What that also may mean is that we are one day and 1 week from the beginning of the fight for something resembling democracy. At least that's how I see it. That having been said, what do I mean on this Moran Monday when I say fight for democracy?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There they are. The first Halcon strains of the Calliope, signaling to one and all that it's Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, 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 indeed. Just a few steps over here off the beaten path of the Carnival Midway, where only moments ago you were eagerly engaged in throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the vain hope of taking home a little baby iguana. We've got the Moran Monday tent for you. Yes, behind these thin cybernetic veils of canvas, or thin canvas cybernetic whatever, back here We've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertardians, libertardians, maggots, trumpanzees, republicans, the whole sorry lot. And in fact, for a $10 a month subscriber to the Horn, well, you're setting yourself back about a little less than a half a stick of chewing gum for each program you enjoy. Subscribers always welcome, both at Patreon and at PayPal. It's easy over at the PayPal at PayPal interface at headon.live. Right there on the main page, just check the little box that says "Make this a recurring." Or if you want to use Patreon, you can go to the contribute tab. It all works out just fine. Now, that having been said, the standard disclaimers apply. And be extra careful. Keep an eye on bangly things, bracelets, rings, necklaces, the hair thingamajiggies, purses, wallets, small children, even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, because the morans can get grabby. Even European-style messenger bags. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Oh, and we so are. We so are. There was a weekend's worth. I mean, we could start with the fact that two close advisors to Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek have been tested positive for the Dondemic, the Rona. But nonetheless, no, Mike Pence is going to stay out on the campaign trail because he's a, try not to laugh, essential worker. Yeah, both of those are funny. The idea of Mike Pencilneck Geek being essential to anything, except perhaps, I don't know, religious fundamentalism is positively hilarious. But let's let Matt in San Francisco, who knows of which he speaks, explain it. Essential worker? First off, Pence being essential is a stretch no matter what angle the approach. Second, when an essential worker is in close contact with anyone who tests positive, they're required to quarantine for 14 days. I am so exhausted, Matt says, from 45 and the vice president not just mishandling the national response to COVID, but amazed at how they continue to take personal actions that in and of themselves are spreading the virus. These two, and everyone who enables them, need to be stopped. They are causing people to get sick and in some cases, far too many cases, die. Enough is enough, for fuck's sake. And isn't that just the damn truth? But no, he's going to go around and he's going to be his own little personal super spreader. Speaking of morons, there's that the Sean Foicht had his super spreader event yesterday on the mall in Washington, D.C. Because this country is too stupid to handle a pandemic. Or let's put it this way, too many people in this country are too stupid to handle a pandemic. And I can point out, for instance, that when I was coming back from the store on Saturday, usually there's no such thing as a traffic jam around here. But I had to sit at the intersection of a little road and wait to turn onto the highway that leads me home for 15 minutes. While a parade of maggots and morans whizzed past me on the road. 15 minutes. Honking and braying and hollering out their winders and flying their Trump flags. And, oh, God. Yeah, well, I couldn't resist, so I just quietly retracted my index and ring fingers and left the middle finger extended and placed it up against the windshield as they drove past. And they went on up and they drove across the New River Gorge Bridge. I don't know where they wound up. I don't know where they started, but God, there were a bunch of maggots on the road. and their brains were squirming like a toad. No doubt. No doubt. What's that? Scott in San Diego says, win the iguana? Hell, at this point, I'd vote for the iguana. Well, isn't that about the truth? Subject line tribbles. Steve in New York says, the weird is accelerating and will continue until 1-2021. Bob, I kept wondering how to aptly describe the crop of morans. The best I could come up with is that the morans are now as numerous and intrusive as tribbles. I don't know any other analogies. Well, locusts, and equally destructive. I think locusts works. Essential Pensley in New York says, of course Mike is essential. Trump needs to pull strings, and Mike is his best ventriloquist dummy. That too. And of course, this. Bob! Did that Amy Boney Carrot get confirmed today? No, not yet. They'll vote on her at 7:30. They're having what passes for debate right now, even as we speak. Won't it be wonderful to have another vegetable on the court to join the likes of Clarence Thomas? Yeah, I'm just waiting for Amy Boney Carrot to use the N-word when she talks to Thomas, since Amy does not believe using the N-word in the workplace creates a hostile work environment. I really think this woman is such a flake that they should create a TV drama series exclusively about her. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says, I have a great name for the TV drama series. Yes, they could call it Judging Amy. Wow, Giraffrey, that's a great name for that show. Very original. And Giraffrey continues, yes, as the highest animal of all the land, I feel compelled to oversee the highest court in the land. Well, Giraffrey, I hope you can land one of those 4 to 6 seats on the Supreme Court after Biden wins. Lord knows, if we don't win and take back the Supreme Court, this country will be in a Gordian knot as it tries to land on its feet, and we will call that TV series Knot's Landing, as there will not be a safe landing, and this country will just, you know, crash. On the other hand, did I hear moron Mark Meadows just basically tell Jake Tapper yesterday that the White House realizes the virus is out of control and the president doesn't care about the corona anymore? Somebody really needs to put Meadows out to pasture. Funny giraffes. All right. Then there's David Perdue, another southern moron bigot who recently made fun of Kamala Harris, as the Georgia senator pretended not to know how to pronounce her first name. Well, David Perdue, speaking of names, let's talk about your last name and the fact that you're not good enough to be named after a Big Ten school such as Purdue University. Hell, you're not good enough to be named after any legitimate college. So from this day forward, Senator David Perdue's name will be David Trump University. That one gets a little bit more vigorous, cowbell. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 26th day of October, with Giraffery still feeling very judgmental, as well one might expect. Kyle observing, the maggot morans know they've lost. The stupid, the destruction is only going to get worse from here. Buckle up and hold on tight until about noon Eastern on January 20th, 2021. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Steve from North Carolina writing, over the weekend, yard signs, I put a Biden-Harris and Cal Cunningham sign in the yard. We live in a sea of Trump signs and crap. My wife was like, we have to do something. Plus, the black family beside us had put their Biden sign out on Friday, and I wanted to show our support. The local Democratic Party told us when we got our signs that there's a problem with Biden signs getting stolen in my county. Just doing my small part in rural North Carolina. Well, you know, you could always electrify the sign. That would be a shocking thing for a maggot to discover upon trying to steal it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Y'all stay safe down there in North Carolina. And a note, it's been a while, and I'm always glad to see these. A note from our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown. I'm still working 6 days a week, 3 months 3 weeks a month at work. The lab's very busy, lots of things to do and lots of work coming in. It doesn't give me much time to write. So much has happened in the past month, it's too much to comment on. To remind the Horn community, I'm a scientist with a degree in biochemistry and a master's in organic chemistry. I work in a lab that makes two of the components to the COVID-19 test kits. I've been living my life under isolation protocols and working the swing shift from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. since March. We have to live by these protocols because we cannot let the virus get in the lab. One sick person sneezes into the COVID-19 component batch, and that could be hundreds of thousands of false positives because the virus is in the kit rather than in the person. I thought I could give some recent news from work, but first you have to know a little bit about life in the lab with these protocols. Our company has a lot of technical names for them, but we use nicknames for them. We have a high degree of international workers at my site, people from China, India, Africa, England, and Sweden. And so football, soccer, is a universal thing. Note, you can't use the dreaded S word with some folks at work. It's called football. We started using the yellow card and red card system like in football. For those of you who don't know, if you're yellow carded in football, you are warned for your behavior, while a red card results in you being removed from play for the rest of the game. To us, yellow cards mean that you or someone living with you has had recent contact with someone that has tested positive. You cannot set foot on the site again until you and the person you are living with that had the contact both test negative. Being red carded means you or someone you live with has tested positive and you are then banned from the site for at least 2 weeks. And your whole household has to test negative with no symptoms before you come back. Let me be clear, Paul from Parts Unknown says, they are not fucking around. They catch even a hint of something, they shut it down. They will kick you off the site mid-shift. They will have security escort you out if you resist. A security escort has not happened, but they've made it clear they are willing to do it if necessary. That's how seriously they're taking it. We had an employee yellow carded because one of their roommates had contact with someone that tested positive. They sent this employee home mid-shift on a Friday, and the rest of the scientists in the lab were informed to limit their contact with other people over the weekend as much as they could. Luckily, both the roommate and the employee tested negative by Monday, and everything went back to normal-ish. We've had two red cards so far. The first one was no big deal. A new hire tested positive in the onboarding process. They didn't even enter the lab and had to wait 2 weeks before they could start their job. The second happened 2 weeks ago and was a symptomatic infection. They were banned from the site, and the rest of the team was yellow carded until they tested negative, which they all did. The lab area where they worked was shut down and deep cleaned. Fortunately, both the red cards were in different buildings than where they make the COVID-19 components. I tell you this for two reasons. First, try to picture that every day when you go to work, you are on constant vigilance to prevent COVID-19 from getting on site, because if it spreads through the site enough, they shut the whole site down and everyone goes home. Then, when you go home at night, you turn on the TV and hear the president say, "It's rounding the corner." You hear people that support him tell you that,
"It's a hoax. It's not as bad as they say."
Not as bad as they say. You know, it's one of them Democrat hoaxes.
They look at you like you're crazy when you explain what your daily work life is like. Secondly, to warn the Horn family that it is getting inside the walls. All the yellow cards and two red cards have happened since late August. From March to August, 5 whole months, we had nothing. Everything that has happened has been in the last 2 months. These are people taking a lot of precautions, and it's still knocking on our door. Please keep up the social distancing. I mention this at the close of the program every evening. Please, Paul from Parts Unknown says, keep up the social distancing. 10 feet at least, but make it 15 when you can. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wipe down grocery carts. Don't talk indoors with people for longer than 15 minutes if everyone is wearing masks. Don't talk to anyone indoors if everyone is not wearing a mask. Stay safe and stay healthy. I'm sure that everyone is keeping up with COVID news. Wisconsin, Idaho, Utah, Texas are near or at capacity for their ICU beds. Friday, the U.S. hit a record number for positive cases in one day, and this during a time when we are testing less. The head of the COVID response team, also known as the vice president's office, is full of COVID cases. It's getting really bad out there, and everyone needs to be more careful. And lastly, I'd like to comment on the administration's herd immunity policy, or as Trump himself describes it, herd mentality, that they talk about in whispers and only say that is the policy when cornered by a reporter. Herd immunity is the equivalent of putting unarmed soldiers in the field by the millions, hoping to win when the enemy runs out of bullets. It is absurd. It's like a radio expert telling Bob that he should deep-throat his microphone because the closer it is to the voice box, the better the sound quality. Well, that's an image I'm not particularly fond of thinking about, but okay. The current plan is just as insane. I mean, do you have any idea how big this microphone is? The current plan is just as insane. The government will boldly and with great fervor do nothing. As it gets worse, they will claim they are working harder on doing nothing. No stimulus, no increased funding for tests, no use of the War Powers Act, no tax cuts to jumpstart the economy. Nothing is getting done. Even if Biden clearly wins and we have Trump doing a peaceful transition of power, nothing will get done until January 2021. Be careful and be as paranoid as Adrian Monk would be right now. We are in for a long fall and winter. Protect yourselves. Note to self. I wonder if the Biden administration will get Tony Shalhoub to do some PSAs for COVID-19. That would be awesome. My best thoughts and wishes to the Horn community, that you and yours make it safely through these terrible times that did not have to be anywhere this bad. Signed, Paul, from Parts Unknown. It is terrifying. And apparently this country doesn't want to do a damn thing about it. And we're learning the ugly truth of that business about how much damage a noisy plurality can do, even when they don't have, you know, a majority. Dangerous indeed. Oh, and by the way, thanks to our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Massive shout out and congratulations for the anniversary, the Horn's anniversary. You must be doing something right. We all hope there are many more to come. Thank you, Todd. Thank you. But here, you know, 83,000 cases in one day. And there I am on Twitter earlier today, and I see where he's tweeting,
all our testing is why we have all these cases.
And every time I see that, I have to ask, and I think we all do. Is he actually that stupid? Or is he saying this because he thinks the vast majority of his maggots are that stupid? I don't know. But honest to Pete, it's really difficult not to just slap the spit out of somebody when they say, you know, this will all be gone on November 4th. Because it won't be. Poor damned fools. Lab work email. Jack in Shreveport says, is there some special card that could be taken out, or would it be possible to slip a guard a few bucks so somebody could go up to a maggot without a mask, show him the card, and the guard would pop out from nearby and kick the maggot's ass? Oh, we are enjoying our fantasy life, aren't we, Jack? Stop it, Bob, says Lee in New York. Don't tell us how big your microphone is. Microphones in quotes. Really is a microphone, and no. Oh, never mind. This is what happens to me. And Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, thank you for all your work and information, Paul. Please stay safe. Indeed, indeed. Oh, and my Buckeye Food Challenge, this from Steve in New York. As I mentioned on the porch on Friday, this is limited to a new $10 subscriber. For that person, I will buy them two boxes of the following. Soft caramels covered in darker milk chocolate and sprinkled with sea salt. I will send the new subscriber two 10-ounce bottles, whether that is two dark, two milk, or one of each. Or the new subscriber can choose two boxes of chocolate-covered potato chips, milk and dark, with the same combination, two dark, two milk, or one of each. So that's out there for a brand new subscriber, just a $10 subscriber. That's huge. Hopefully we'll get a new subscriber out of that, because yum. God, I love chocolate-covered potato chips. It's just embarrassing. Yeah. As to the maggot parade that I saw over the weekend, I saw Megan says, I saw a friend of mine post a meme on Facebook about using an RPG to deal with Trump fan parades driving by and honking at lines of people voting. I chuckled at it, but realistically speaking, I have an ear-splitting personal alarm on my keychain, so escorting my mother to the polls on November 3rd is going to be fun. Yeah, let him say one word, right, Megan? Silent Arloir says, get ready, Trump followers, here comes the COVID. Trump to his staff, it's taking too long to kill and affect the American people, so I, Trump, shall quickly and bigly, very fast, get them the COVID. How can I do this? I know, rally. I can get thousands sick, preferably dead. The less, the better to rule over. Yeah, but he wants them to vote in person on election day. That's the key to his fantasy of success. And that is terrifying. Randy in PA. President Shifty Eyes might have changed his tone. He's gone from he'll not accept the election results if he loses to maybe he'll have to move out of the country if he loses. Brazil! The SCOTUS nominee debate ongoing right now. Lee in New York says, I know what the Republican senators will be doing. I love putting a conservative on the court. I love it more. No, you don't. And your mother smells of elderberries. Signed, Lee in New York City, where I entered the ranks of those who have voted. Good for you, Lee. Good. And Kyle says, speaking of morons, I think my favorite group lately are the Amish for Trump people. They dress in Amish garb, but drive cars or carry around iPhones and other electronic devices. Oh, and they're too dumb to realize the Amish aren't even political. I do a spit take every time I see one. Ah, yeah. Jesus. Oh, and by the way, Steve just made an addendum to his Buckeye Goodies challenge. Steve says, I think maybe we should say a $15 subscription instead, given the increased goal, or a one-time $50 contribution, if you want to announce the changes. I mean, well, okay, so there it is. A $15 subscription or a $50 one-time, and you get the goodies from Steve. So, yay. Now, God, there's so much stuff. I mean, so much stuff. But when I made mention, okay, Silent R. Lamar says, let's not argue. I say both. He's that dumb and his followers are that stupid. Good time taking place in the Horn chat room, by the way. If you wander on by right now as we're half hour into the program, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Lou in PA, Otto DeShot, Roger in Oregon. Roger's package arrived on Saturday, got here in a straight-up hurry, and the little jars of tuna. Well, for a while there, I couldn't find one of the jars of tuna, and I couldn't find Agnes. It is much loved. And the jams and jellies, well, a toasted sourdough English muffin with the homemade jalapeno jelly on it just spoke to my soul. So thank you, Roger. Thank you very kindly. It's much appreciated and enjoyed. And a note coming from Randy Radar in PA. In 2 days on the 28th, I'm changing my monthly subscription from $50 a month to $75 a month. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Thank you so very kindly. Oh, and it looks like we're having some Monty Python fun in the chat room where Sparky and Steve are moderating. Otto just posted, Allez, fetch la vache. What? I said, get the cow. Yeah. There's never a bad time for a Monty Python reference. So, when it comes to... I mean, I don't know how many people pay attention to these assholes. But some people do. There are people listening and watching. And I'm talking about Josh Bernstein, who recently got deplatformed for calling for various assassinations. And he and Dill Beagle, or Bill Deagle, Bill Doberman, decided to get together and have a little chat last week. And here's what they're trying to, I mean, when they tell you who they are, believe them, okay?
We have enemies within our country. And I've been saying that for the longest time. I mean, these people hate this country. They hate our foundings. They hate our principles. And basically, these are the people that we fought in World War One, in World War Two. These are the Nazis that we had to kill, you know, in foreign lands. They are now here. They have now been born here, bred here. Generation after generation, they have gotten more and more radical. And unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with them here physically in the streets in this country. And that's
Wait, what? The people we fought in World War II are now here, and we're going to have to fight them. I'm pretty sure that the people we were fighting in Germany were Nazis, and I hate to break it to Dill Beagle and Josh Bernstein, but this side of the aisle are decidedly not Nazis. We don't even like Nazis. One could say we hate Nazis, but nonetheless. These two clowns over on what is called the Nutramedical Report with Dill Beagle or Bill Deagle. You're talking about killing people.
The unfortunate part, because think of how many millions of Americans and hundreds of thousands of Americans that fought and died in foreign wars protecting our freedom and liberty and prosperity here at home, and now these scumbags are here in this country, and they're trying. We now have the Nazi regime here in America, and they're trying to kill us here. So we're going to...
You know, I hate to break it to Josh Bernstein and Dill Beagle, or Bill Deagle, but the Nazis were the ones who were marching around hollering, "Jews will not replace us," in Charlottesville in 2017. It was a Nazi who ran over Heather Heyer. It's Nazis who are, alt-right, right-wing, white nationalist, you know, white supremacist assholes. And Nazism is white supremacy. Right, yeah. Who got stone cold busted burning down the Precinct 3 in Minneapolis. Shooting guns into the building. Get right. But not according to these two clowns. I mean, isn't that false advertising? The Nutramedical Report? And the next thing you know, you're talking about murdering people in the streets?
Have to fight them, unfortunately, here in America. And that's why there's going to be another civil war. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's almost a guaranteed certain going to happen.
Well, I think it would end up very quickly It'll end up pretty quickly if there's three things happen. Number one, either now or shortly after the election, if Trump gets in, he puts the Insurrection Act. Number two, in every district, like in Michigan, where the actual Michigan sheriff is actually supporting the people who grabbed this Michigan governor who did illegal criminal activity against the citizens of Michigan, the citizens are going to rise up and become deputized. And the third thing that's going to happen is there's 23 million ex-military are going to train our young people. So we're going to have a massive internal army to take on Chi-Com, the Committee or United Nations or anybody that thinks they're going to pull off this crap.
Wait. The United Nations is coming. The blue-helmeted guys? I thought they were going to come across the dry part of the Rio Grande or something. When did the plan change? Jesus, these people are morons. But the problem is they're dangerous ones.
If they think they're going to take our guns, like, you know, Charlton Heston said, we'll give your guns back one bullet at a time. And plus, we're going to make exotic weapons you've never seen before, and I know how to do it. I'm designing them now. Okay?
Well, look.
Exotic? Exotic weapons? I mean, what? Are there tropical plants involved? Exotic weapons? Yeah, we're off and running. I'm annoying people with this clip. So they're not Nazis, but they think they're on the side of a government who will support them in a violent overthrow of this country. What the fuck? Kyle says, the people who are trying to defeat fascism here are the Nazis. Good God, Orwell couldn't write that, and these fuckers want a damn shooting war among U.S. citizens. How is that shit allowed to be put on the air, internet, or anywhere? Jesus fucking Christ. Well, you know there's a rule for this, Kyle. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. Damn it, Bob. Jack in Shreveport says, I was about to ask you what it was you were talking about when you mentioned the modification to the prize. But my real concern is how long I'm going to have to hear the Buckeye News Hawk Award go through my head. Hey, congratulations on that proud pig, Les. It's the Silver Sow, Johnny. Right you are, Les. Arthur says, Dill Pickle or Beagle. Wolverines! Yeah. Steve in New York pointed, they said we have a Nazi regime. Funny. A regime is the people in power. Looks like the goddess of irony possessed old Josh. Oh, she owns him. Exotic weapons? James in Illinois says he's building pipe bombs. Exotic, my ass. Mm-hmm. Silent R. Lamar. Just thinking. Oh, Bob, Mr. Beagle has it right. Just the wrong party. It's not all Republicans, but most of them. Oh, yeah, does Dill Beagle wear a bulldog necktie? Yes, and I imagine he's got one of those velvet paintings of dogs playing poker, too.
I've talked to lots of experts out there. When the Civil War happens, here's what's basically going to happen. You're going to have suburban areas and rural areas of towns coalesce and converge into the urban cities of their states.
Huh?
And that's where the battles are going to be. We're going to have the guns. They're not going to have as many guns. And we're going to do what we have to do to protect this country. And
yeah, but there's not that many of them. You see, they want to pretend that they're so strong, but a lot of these people are spoiled brats that are university kids.
They're university kids, this smart guy, college boys.
Even know what's happening, and trust me, people like me and many others behind this will be coordinating things quietly in the background to make sure that it's happening.
Wait, General Joshi is going to be in charge? I get the idea that General Joshi gets worn out walking to the walking from the gas pumps into the Rippy Mart.
Well, the first thing I tell people to get...
We're done.
Go to pepperball.com and get a Don Seton lethal weapon and a bunch of zip ties.
They steal this from Trump, trust me on that, okay?
Yeah.
If they steal this from Trump, there's 65-plus million Americans thirsting for revenge.
Actually, I got a better number for you. There's 93 million armed Americans, 23 million veterans.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. Plus, we actually have exotic weapons too, like drones and exotic things that we can do.
Exotic drones. Okay. And Dill Beagle's building them, designing them.
Hospitals, whatever. People have no idea. If you think out there, you moron, Hollywood maniacs, that we're going to be passive and just roll over like the Soviet Union or China, we're going to kill you so fast you won't know you ever...
Wait, the Soviet Union just rolled over? So Stalingrad was rolling over? I mean, there are parts of Stalingrad still where... where there's more metal in the dirt than there's dirt in the dirt. These idiots. China didn't roll over. China was roiled by a communist revolution because people were sick and damn tired of the corruption of the previous regime. Holy... But yeah, this probably is a level of stupid you can't fix.
Impulse. The first people we're going to target are going to be these left-wing groups out there.
Right. So you need to know that this is the end of your life. I mean, no matter how smart and rich you think you are, you're going to die trying to pull off this kind of crap because we're not going to put up with it.
Let me say this. To the hard left Marxists out there, to the Antifa, to the Black Lives Matter, to the left-wing groups that are funding him, to the right-wing watches, to all those people out there, we are ready, willing, and able to do what we have to do to protect.
Wait, what's with the Dill Beagle heavy breathing? And, you know, calling people out by name, saying that, you know, I think Josh Bernstein would probably shit himself if at a hard look.
Protect this nation and to make sure that this country is never going to be a communist nation.
That should be pretty easy because there's really not that many people out there that want this country to be a communist nation.
And if it's an us versus situation, trust me, it's going to be them, not us.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's Josh Bernstein and that's... Dill Beagle. Or maybe it's Smeagol and Deagle, as Steve points out. You know as well as I do that these fuckers will shit their pants and run for the hills. They're massive cowards. Lens Changer Guys, Jack in Shreveport says, these guys are using names of groups in geographic areas that have me all confused about who they support and who they don't, at least in a general sense. Okay, I heard others' emails too before I sent this, so I guess I'm not the only one to be confused. Well, make no mistake, these are right-wing assholes. No doubt about it. And so, you know, they're going to fight the Nazi liberals. A reminder, this is Moran Monday. So, they're morons too. But what they're trying to do is message the idea that if Joe Biden wins, there is no way Joe Biden wins unless the election has been stolen. They cannot deal with the fact that they cannot deal with the fact that they are a significant minority. They managed somehow to seize power with only about the support of a third of the country. And they think they are more than who they are. They've forgotten, if they ever acknowledged, that they were defeated by more than 3 million votes in the general election in 2016, and they cannot stand the idea of acknowledging that the only reason COVID Caligula is in the White House is because of the operation of an anachronism from our ancient, vicious, slave-holding past. And by the way, Bob, I'm a tabletop role player, and in many of the game systems, we have weapon designs, especially for sci-fi gaming. Not put too fine a point on it, but self-appointed general and all-around fanboy Josh Burpstein. Wait a minute. Josh Burpstein is stroking himself. Somebody please put a butterfly in it over this SOB. Besides, Chris and I went on a field excursion to observe chimpanzees in their natural habitat, a bar where poker was being played. My blood pressure's still up. Signed, your buddy, Dave and the Blind. Josh Burpstein. Early, that's winning, Dave. That's beautiful. Hey, Bob, have you forgotten this? That this is Moran Monday? This is Lee in New York. Dill Beagle. GMOs have gone too far. And exactly. Kyle says, and all this is because they think a moderate is a communist. Holy fuck. Adding, if we had a functioning country, those guys would be in a prison or a mental health facility. We're going to die trying to bring democracy to the country? We'll bring it, fuckers. Silent R. Lamar says, you know, I just can't take 30-plus assholes talking about shit they don't know. The lack of knowledge is a danger. Do they know how Democrats have served in the armed services and some Democrats who didn't serve who were willing to go to war? What the fuck? No, they don't know. Oh, we got 23 million veterans, and they think every last one of them is a Trump voter. Yeah. Megan says, I love the assumption that liberals or Democrats don't own guns. Or that all veterans are all Trump-loving Nazi and Confederacy flag-waving bigots itching to shoot people in cities. I'm pretty sure people like Sparky and Steve in Georgistan are going to have something to say about that. Oh, and by the way, I work in an upper-class section of Northern Virginia. There are conservative Trump supporters here, too. These idiots are delusional. Steve in New York said, Josh Burpstein, whoever said that wins the program today. Well, that's Dave and the Blind in Talibandiana, Josh Burpstein. Support from a third of a country. Earther says, you know who also had support from a third of the country? I bet I do. Well, sooner or later, everything does have a reference on The Simpsons, doesn't it? Ugh.
Make bang to base. Under attack by commie Nazis. Stop me from delivering these UNICEF pennies. Go, pennies. Help the puny children who need you.
McBain, under attack by commie Nazis. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. Billable Rick has awarded a cowbell. To Lee in New York for Dill and Beagle, GMOs have gone too far. Can you say animal-vegetable hybrid? It all started when they decided to splice a gene from a goat's pancreas into a potato. Yep, right. And Randy Radar pointing out, they wear camouflage outfits so they can hide out in the bushes, you know, at Walmart. No, they wear camouflage so they can hide out in the camouflage department at Walmart. So, you know, that's just the beginning. Because there is so much stupid. So very, very much stupid. There is a vote taking place in the Senate right now. A vote to not allow Schumer's motion to adjourn Senate until November 9th, unless White House and Speaker Pelosi reach a coronavirus response deal. And the Senate is mostly, you know, well, Empty. Very, very empty. Oh, well. We'll check back in. They will vote at 7:30 on Amy Tony's parrot. Oh, and the Lincoln Project, speaking of morons, the Lincoln Project has decided to poke at the La Familia Trump, because the Lincoln Project got a letter from one of the pettifoggers and grifters, namely Mark Kazowitz of Kazowitz Benson Torres LLP of 1633 Broadway in New York, New York, threatening to sue the living bejesus out of the Lincoln Project for putting a big old billboard, two of them, as a matter of fact. One of them pointing, showing Precious Princess I Wank a Daddy Trump Kushner. And the number is 33,366 plus New Yorkers, 221,247 plus Americans. And it's her, it's when she held up the can of Goya beans, only they've taken the Goya beans out. And the other one is of Little Jared. New Yorkers are going to suffer, and that's their problem. A quote, a direct quote. From Jared Kushner. So lawyers for the Lincoln Project wrote back in response to the just downright silly threat to sue by Mark Kazowitz. I wonder where Mark Kazowitz went to law school. He's kind of got that draw spunky school of law about him. Well, the Lincoln Project, however, is represented by Kaplan and Drysdale of Washington, D.C., 1 Thomas Circle, just a few steps away from the fantastic stands with the best wings in D.C., and I'll bet the Kaplan and Drysdale lawyers wander down there from time to time to get those fantastic wings. But that's right, the Lincoln Project has sicked Mr. Drysdale on Mark Kazowitz. This will not end well. Dear Mr. Kazowitz, I write to respond to your recent letter in which you threatened to sue my client, the Lincoln Project, for openly criticizing Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. You object specifically to 2 Times Square billboards featured below for your immediate reference that associate your clients with the Trump administration's failed COVID-19 response. You boldly predict that the result of your lawsuit will doubtless be enormous compensatory and punitive damages. Please peddle your scare tactics elsewhere. The Lincoln Project will not be intimidated by such empty bluster. And they draw that Mark Kazowitz like a gun, don't they? Your clients are no longer mere Upper East Side socialites able to sue at the slightest offense to their personal sensitivities. Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump are public officials. They've been public officials since President Trump, in a gross act of nepotism, awarded Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump senior White House positions in 2017. The placement of Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump in these high-level White House offices has been disastrous for Americans everywhere, but it is now also devastating to the prospects of your would-be lawsuit. Footnote 1. As public officials, Ms. Trump and Mr. Kushner must satisfy the First Amendment's actual malice standard to bring a libel claim. With clear and convincing evidence, they must show that the Lincoln Project made statements with knowledge that the statements were false or with a reckless disregard of whether statements were false. At a minimum, they must show the Lincoln Project actually entertained serious doubts as to the truth of its statements. Americans have the right to discuss and criticize the public officials freely. U.S. Supreme Court's described this as a profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues should be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. Public officials have periodically tried, as Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump do here, to evade accountability and muzzle dissent by threatening or filing defamation lawsuits against critics. Fortunately, substantial constitutional protections are afforded to those who speak out about public officials. The Lincoln Project plans to avail itself of these constitutional protections to duly criticize Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump until they cease to be public officials at approximately noon Eastern Standard Time on January 20th, 2021. The Lincoln Project's billboards, in any event, are entirely accurate. Contrary to your claim that Mr. Kushner never made any such statement, Vanity Fair reported, wow, this stings from start to finish. I mean, if you're Mark Kasowitz reading this, and you know, as lawyers, you're supposed to be dispassionate and not get all worked up or anything, but damn. Vanity Fair reported in a widely circulated article that Mr. Kushner did indeed say that New Yorkers, quote, are going to suffer and that's their problem during the time that he was entrusted to lead our nation's COVID-19 response. The Lincoln Project explicitly cited Vanity Fair as the source for Mr. Kushner's featured statement. Please contact us again. Ouch. Please contact us again if at some point you somehow succeed in convincing Vanity Fair to retract its article, but I trust that this supplemental explanation settles the matter for now as to Mr. Kushner's reported remark. Your additional assertion that Ms. Trump never made any such gesture is similarly incorrect. While serving as a White House official and in violation of federal ethics rules, Ms. Trump infamously endorsed a commercial product this past July by posting a picture of herself holding a 15.5-ounce can. God love lawyers, you know. It can't just be a can of beans. It's a 15.5-ounce can of Goya Marca Registrada black beans with the caption, "If it's a Goya, it has to be good." The Lincoln Project replaced that can of Goya black beans with statistical references to 33,366 dead New Yorkers and 221,247 dead Americans. Why? Because Ms. Trump endorses the Trump administration policies that have led to an unacceptable number of American deaths, every bit as much as she once endorsed that can of beans. Hand me down that can of beans, hand me down that can of beans, hand me down that can of beans, I'm throwing it away. Yeah, this truth may cause Ms. Trump personal discomfort, but her bruised self-image does not change the fact that this billboard accurately depicts her support of a federal response that has utterly failed to prevent an unmitigated tragedy for the United States. The Lincoln Project would welcome the opportunity to further establish the truthfulness of its Times Square billboards through litigation and discovery, so sue if you must. If you must. In the meantime, may I suggest that if Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump are genuinely concerned about salvaging their reputations, they would do well to stop suppressing truthful criticism and instead turn their attention to the COVID-19 crisis that is still unfolding under their inept watch. These billboards are not causing Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump's standing with the public to plummet. Their incompetence is. This isn't over. Mr. Kushner and Ms. Trump will hear more from the Lincoln Project soon. Cordially, Milburn Drysdale. No. Cordially, Matthew T. Sanderson, member, Kaplan and Drysdale Chartered, counsel to the Lincoln Project. By the way, your clients are hereby notified that they should retain any and all documents, including emails and other electronic files relating to the matters at issue. Your clients are further advised that in any lawsuit arising from these matters, the Lincoln Project would intend to seek expedited discovery and to depose Ms. Trump and Mr. Kushner in videotaped proceedings and to depose each individual that attended the March 21st meeting on which Vanity Fair reported. And you know what? There's not going to be another word heard of this because, unlike people who are afraid of Donald Trump, the Lincoln Project did not, in fact, fold like a cheap suit. Beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment. And in addition to the letter, the Lincoln Project issued a statement, the level of indignant outrage Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump have shown towards the Lincoln Project for exposing their indifference for the more than 223,000 people who have lost their lives due to the reckless mismanagement of COVID-19 is comical. I would say reckless and feckless. I'm always up for a rhyme. While we truly enjoy living rent-free in their heads, their empty threats will not be taken any more seriously than we take Ivanka and Jared.
Oh.
But they're wealthy. That must mean they're important and smart. No, sorry. It is unsurprising that an administration that has never had any regard or understanding of our Constitution would try to trample our First Amendment rights, but we fully intend on making this civics lesson as painful as possible. Jared and Ivanka have always been entitled out-of-touch bullies who have never given the slightest indication they have any regard for the American people. We plan on showing them the same level of respect. The billboards will stay up. We consider it important that in Times Square, the crossroads of the world, people are continuously reminded of the cruelty, audacity, and staggering lack of empathy the Trumps and the Kushners have displayed toward the American people.
Whoa!
I'm surprised that when the paper, maybe it just arrived via electronic, I'm surprised there was no smoke coming out of the machine when it showed up over at Mr. Kazowitz's office. And thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed to Peter setting up a new subscription. Peter, I need your mailing address so that Steve can mail you your token of appreciation. And let's see here. And by the way, the Horn family, Charlene in Rogues Island says, the Horn family is in high gear tonight. Here's a $50 challenge. When it's met, I'll add 20 more. P.S. I put my Biden-Harris sign out today, Charlene from Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. That's tremendously helpful. So that would get us down to... That'd get us down to 175 to go in fundraising. Thank you, Charlene. Hopefully folks will jump in on that. And let's see. No, that'd get us down to... get us down to 155. Because thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Peter. Thank you very kindly. I love that letter, Steve says. You could just see that attorney tapping little Mark Kazowitz on the head as he read that letter to him. Oh, yeah. And I wonder what Mark Kazowitz must think from time to time when he realizes that he's the guy who replaced Michael Cohen. And that in the grand scheme of things, he may wind up in the same sort of situation Cohen did. Because you can't work for Donald Trump and keep your hands clean. Mark Kazowitz went to Cornell Law School. Obviously, standards have fallen, says Ron in Raleigh. Thank you, Ron. But that's not all on Jared. I had a note from Ron early in the program talking about the latest. I mean, the subject line from Ron in Raleigh just says, Jared is an asshole. And that's true enough. But this doesn't, that phrase is too simple. It doesn't encompass the monumental quality of his assholishness. Ron pointing out, Jared put his foot in his mouth after following up on his father-in-law's bullshit statement about being the best president for black people and touting his relationship with Ice Cube. I remember when Bernie Mac told Ice Cube that because he had an espresso machine, he wasn't a thug anymore. His backing of Donnie Bag of Donuts proves once again he damn sure isn't a thug anymore. That privileged little shitheel espoused the same Republican bullshit that black people don't have anyone to blame for their place in the world except for themselves. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps is the same shit they tell themselves. Jared got into Harvard because his daddy paid his way in. When black people improve themselves like in Tulsa, white people put an end to it. I'm so fucking tired of these people absolving themselves and their forebears of any responsibility for the conditions of their former chattel. Well, I mean, let's be fair. Do we know when the Kushners got here? Just saying. I mean, that's one of the amazing things about Trump's daddy being a Klansman. He was fresh off the boat. He was the kind of people the Klan hates. Kinda. I mean, white and German, sure, but... Well, no, I guess he was born here. Granddaddy was off the boat. But still, he joined up with the... Yeah, Frederick Christ Trump joined up with the Klan to protest Irish people in the NYPD and then went on to marry a Scottish girl. Well, you can't say that the brains don't run in the bunch. Well, actually, you can say the brains don't run in the bunch. Not much at all, as a matter of fact. Mercy. And earlier in the day, I had a note, we're keeping up with places like South Carolina. Earlier in the day, I had a note from our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan. And when you consider it in its context, it really is surprising. Some 30% of white people, was that the number, David? Are supporting Jamie Harrison. Percent it in South Carolina. It's amazing. There may be a fighting chance. God, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? I was trying to find the exact text, but I can't for some reason. Sorry, checking a couple of... Are they back? Are they back at work in the Senate yet? Yes, they are. Let's check in real quick.
Whether she thought Roe was correctly decided because it is the subject of legislation, of litigation, currently contested. But she refused to say as well whether the foundational case Griswold versus Connecticut decided 55 years ago that protects the right to privacy, the right to use contraceptives by a married family in the privacy of their own home. She refused to say whether that was right. And in the recent past, even indisputably conservative nominees chosen by Republican presidents such as Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito and Kavanaugh have said, of course, Griswold was rightly decided, is settled precedent. So I found Judge Barrett's hesitation, even refusal to say so, chilling. More broadly, and this is important, Judge Barrett's approach to precedent itself suggests she will lead the way in reversing longstanding cases upon which our rights rely. Precedent's been called the foundation stone of law. Precedent protects the rights and freedoms that many Americans rely on today. The right to be safe in your home from government intrusion. The right to marry whomever you love. The right to control your own body. But I've come away convinced that Judge Barrett, if confirmed to the court, would be even more willing than Justice Scalia to overturn those precedents with which she disagrees. And this is rooted in things that she has written and said as a law professor and a judge.
Now, let's be clear about something. This is Chris Coons of Delaware, and everything he says is correct and true. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter a hill of beans. Because this isn't, you know, they call this debate, but it's not. It's just talking. No one's minds are being changed. No one's minds will be changed. No one's minds are hardly ever changed in these circumstances. So this is, I mean, I don't like to be in the position of agreeing with Mitch McConnell, but they're going to do this dirty business. Do the dirty business. But you'll notice they set the vote for 7:30 at night so that hopefully folks wouldn't be watching at home. At least not folks in states that might matter, like swing states or battleground states. Nobody's watching in Pennsylvania at 7:30. Florida? No. No, no. And it doesn't matter if people are watching during, say, 4:30 in the afternoon in California, Oregon, and Washington, because, well, they're all communist, Nazi commies who don't count anyway, and they can't, you know, they're not going to vote. They're not going to vote for the God Emperor anyway. Anyhow, you know, fuck them. But at least these
cases include.
At least these senators are creating a record that everyone did not just bow down and allow this to take place.
Held based on that privacy jurisprudence that started all the way back in Griswold. Upheld the idea that marriage equality is the rule of the land. Grutter versus Bollinger, which upheld race-conscious admissions policies at universities. Tennessee versus Lane, which held state governments must comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Arizona State Legislature versus Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission, which upheld the constitutionality of nonpartisan redistricting. Massachusetts versus EPA, which allows the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases, and Roper v. Simmons, which prohibits executing people for crimes committed while they were children. Think about the scope and reach of it. Cases that touch labor rights to Native American rights, consumer rights to environmental protection. Yes, our comments on the floor and in the committee focused on the Affordable Care Act. They focused on reproductive rights and privacy.
Yeah, they focus that way.
The scope and reach of the consequences are breathtaking. Even to this day,
everything is at risk.
We as a nation have not fully reckoned with the impact that a 6-3 conservative court will have on so many aspects of our lives. As to President Trump's third demand, that a justice chosen by him help decide the election, I was deeply dismayed to hear Judge Barrett refuse to commit to recusing herself from any case involving an election dispute. President Trump is the reason I asked that question. President Trump himself is actively undermining the integrity of our election. He's spreading baseless rumors about voter fraud, encouraging voter suppression, engaging in a disinformation campaign so egregious it's hard to believe it could be coming from an American, let alone an American president. His statements have been so indefensible that when my colleagues asked Judge Barrett whether the president should commit to conducting a peaceful transition of power if he loses an election, a question, an obvious no-brainer, a matter of basic civics, Judge Barrett said she couldn't respond because President Trump's statements have turned this fundamental tenet of our democracy into a partisan political question. Before now, to my knowledge, no president has ever demanded that his nominee to a Supreme Court case, to a Supreme Court seat, be rushed through so that that justice, that ninth justice, could look at the ballots, as he has said, and hand him an election.
Chilling, isn't it? Terrifying. We're about to have a member of the Supreme Court who really couldn't say whether we should have a peaceful transfer of power. That says everything, doesn't it? Amy Coney Barrett thinks, I guess, that her privilege and position and wealth and maybe her God will protect her. If there's violence in the streets, I guess she'll just hide somewhere. Now, I'm not going to go all Josh Burpstein. But those people are nuts. And as Randy Radar pointed out, 98% of these white-wing wackos are fake soldiers. That's the other 2% you have to worry about. Exactly. And that ain't encouraging. No, 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 no. Oh, and by the way, to Peter, who will be getting your goodie box from Steve, I need to know what combination, Steve needs to know what combination you'd like, the potato chips or the candies or, you know. So, thanks for doing that. Wait a while, says Ron and Raleigh. When will we have an AG that will prosecute these shitheads for yelling civil war in a crowded country? Remember, all white people aren't Nazis. But all Nazis are white people. Because, of course. And now, folks are beginning to get creeped out in Texas. Because Governor Greg Abbott says he's going to deploy the National Guard to keep people from voting. I mean, to provide security at the polls. The San Antonio Express News reported today the Texas Army National Guard said it has been ordered to dispatch 1,000 troops to 5 major cities around the state in conjunction with the November 3rd elections. And Joaquin Castro, Representative Joaquin Castro, said, this is 1950s segregated South type behavior. Prospect of Army National Guard at polling locations is a blatant act of voter intimidation. Governor Abbott needs to immediately make clear that the Texas Guard will not be used to hover at polling sites intimidating voters. If you would like to let Governor Abbott know how you feel about trying to militarize the elections, well, his number is area code 512-463-2000. Area code 512-463-2000. And it is really disturbing the number of states where you can at least theoretically take a firearm to the polls with you. I used to always enjoy going to the polls on election day. Now, however, yeah, I'm kind of glad I've already gotten it out of the way. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Uh-oh. Kali Maganini is going to be in some deep shit with the boss. You see, back before she became official White House press creep, she was showing up on news talk programs on the TV box talking about how star-spangled wonderful Trump is. And it was back in 2015 on New York's AM 970, when the audio in question came into being,
advising a campaign,
Yeah. Here we go. This is from CNN's K-File.
Head to head again for the reasons you just articulated. That would say Joe Biden is who I'd want to
go head to head against.
I would say Joe Biden is who I'd want to go head to head against for the reasons you just articulated. That being said, I think the Republicans run into a problem if it is Joe Biden and if it is maybe a Trump on the other side, because Joe Biden, one of the things he is remarkable at is really kind of being a man of the people and resonating with middle class voters, feeling like coming off as human. You know, his gaffes, as much as we make fun of them, to a certain extent, they make him look human. So in that sense, he's likable. So while, you know, I think Joe Biden would be an easier person to beat, I think. At the same time, you know, we've got Hillary Clinton's mistrust or mistruths. We have someone who is not a good politician. So it kind of is a toss-up, really. But I'd say at the end of the day, probably Joe, although if Trump is against Joe, I think the juxtaposition of kind of the man of the people and kind of this tycoon is a problem. Although Donald Trump, remarkably, is coming off as a man of the people, despite being this, you know, wealthy business tycoon.
It's
uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, and Stephen in New York pointing out, Greg Abbott and his National Guard bullshit has Trump and Pepe the Frog Barr's fingerprints all over it. Yeah. Well, maybe Kali Maganini can, maybe if she apologizes real good. Damn. And other Moran Monday stuff. Remember, there's a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. David in South Carolina, Stan, lets us know that the plague rat himself, Mike Pencilneck Geek, is in South Carolina tomorrow holding a rally for Lindsay. Last week of the campaign, and Pence is in South Carolina campaigning for Lindsay. Tell me Lindsay's not in trouble. Lindsay's in big trouble, and Lindsay knows it. In fact, he's been heard to be pissing and moaning about out-of-state people giving money to Jamie Harrison's campaign. Well, Lindsay, maybe if you didn't make people from out-of-state hate your fucking guts so much, they wouldn't do that. But, well, that ship sailed, hasn't it? Yes, it has. A little something from the... Oh, I mentioned earlier about flipping off the maggot parade on Saturday. Well, turns out I'm in good company. DeAndre Hopkins is a fantastic wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. And he was on his way to the game yesterday. He was driving his Ferrari. Nice touch, Ferrari. And so he was trying to get through the goddamn Trump parade, and he was flipping people off. He was flipping the maggots off. Just giving them the merry middle finger there from the open top of his Ferrari. And then he went to the game, and he caught 10 balls for 103 yards and a touchdown as Arizona beat Seattle, 37-34 in OT. Which I think is pretty hilarious. Then, of course, there was the aggrieved maggot who took a picture of Hopkins. My eight-year-old son was in one of the cars you were swerving in and out of as you were disrupting the Phoenix Trump train drive and trying to cause an accident. He wasn't trying to cause an accident. He was trying to get out of the people who were more likely to cause an accident. You're a piece of trash. Make your political statements, but you put you out people at risk today. At Arizona Cardinals. This is one of your own DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't know there were multiple DeAndre Hopkinses, but then again, maggots. This is one of your own DeAndre Hopkins flipping off people, apparently weaving in and out of traffic during a Trump rally. Well, maybe Trump rallies shouldn't take place rolling down the road. Maybe that's dangerous in itself. Maybe you can set as the example as a public figure and let people exercise their First Amendment right. Great behavior from a cardinal. Yeah, Mr. Maggot there, obviously oblivious of the fact that DeAndre Hopkins was exercising his First Amendment rights, too. Hi, DeAndre. Good on you, man. And just because it's 2020, damn, let's go to Belgium, where a cemetery in Antwerp has been invaded by, and again, only in 2020 do you get a lot, by self-cloning mutant crayfish. Self-cloning mutant crayfish. Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello. Self-cloning mutant crayfish. No, actually, they're all female, and they're always female. And they were created in a lab and got loose. Yeah. This kind of has a science fiction nightmare written all over it. I mean, self-cloning mutant crayfish is just made for a movie theater marquee if, as Dan Fisher was talking about, movies ever come back to life. These self-duplicating crustaceans... Man, this story is just one magic phrase after another, isn't it? Well, the little monsters can dig down up to a meter. And they've colonized a historic Antwerp graveyard and pose a risk to the local life. Kevin Shears of the Flemish Institute for Nature and Woodland Research said, it's impossible to round up all of them. It's like trying to empty the ocean with a thimble. They travel across land and water at night, these self-cloning mutant crayfish, and they eat whatever they can find. And they don't actually occur in nature. They've been banned by the European Union, but somehow or another, one of them got out of the lab. I was thinking about this when I was reading Paul from Parts Unknown's journal article note about keeping things out of the lab, and sometimes you want things to stay in the lab. They're about 10 centimeters and always hungry, and their pedigree is apparently one of having been bred and created by German pet traders in the 1990s. And they're parthenogenic. They reproduce by themselves, and every little baby teenage mutant self-cloning crayfish is an exact copy of its mother. They have an official name now, Procambarus virginalis. I guess that means virginal crawdad, or in this case, crawmom. They're banned to possess or release in the EU, but because they're all identical, you can't trace them. And so they're in the pools and the streams of the Schoonselhof Cemetery in Antwerp, considered to be the Flemish, the Antwerp version of Père Lachaise. And there's nothing in here about I mean, maybe what they need is some Louisianans. Just send a bunch of Louisianans to Belgium, and there won't be any self-cloning mutant crayfish anymore, because the Louisianans will eat them all. Suck the head, y'all. Mudbugging. Yes, you just tear off that little bit of there and suck out the tail, and then you suck the head. Maybe they're not tasty. And unfortunately, it's all over Europe and Africa. And they're considered the tribbles of the crayfish world. They've been reported in Austria, Germany, France, Japan, Madagascar, and Israel. Present on four continents. And they're really bad in Madagascar. But, it is, in answer to a question, Randy Radar asking, for instance, are they good eating? Well, it is particularly prevalent in Madagascar, where its rapid spread in less than a decade is because of its popularity as a cheap source of protein. Researchers have found that the marbled crayfish could outcompete seven native crayfish. Yeah, but are they good with remoulade? Self-cloning mutant crayfish. And, by the way, over the weekend it was announced that we have finally found the first hive of murder hornets in North America. Brother Deacon Asa has got to be just thrilled about this because, well, they're up Vancouver way. Beautiful, right? Because if you find one murder hornet nest, apparently one murder hornet nest can generate something like 200,000 new murder hornet queens. Ha ha! And God knows the honeybee population doesn't need any more pressure put on it. But the problem is they found one nest, and if you find one, it probably means there are several. Halfway through the program, and, you know, not all Moranity is of the political variety. I ran across this old story, and it is old. But I had to share it because I don't remember ever seeing it before. And just as a reminder, it comes from BuzzFeed. It is the story of Ashley Arnold. Back 2 years before the pandemic, she was a young woman trying to complete an online degree, stay-at-home mom from Idaho Falls, Idaho. Man, this is a dandy. She paid for a class with, and I've seen this outfit advertised on TV, Southern New Hampshire University. And she was supposed to put together a research project, and she decided that she would compare the social media habits of the United States and Australia. And she did her work, turned it in, and her professor returned it to her with an F. An F, yes, an F. I mean, you'd have to screw up pretty badly. To get an F. Well, it happens that we have the email exchange between her professor and her. The email from her professor, who is said to have a PhD in philosophy, Her professor gave her a zero because, as the professor wrote, Robert, Angry Architect, John Fox, if you're out there, all of our friends in Oz, this is a hockey puck moment for you. Maybe you already, maybe you already know this story. But if you don't, get the hockey puck and the duct tape. The young woman got an F on her research project because, as the professor wrote, Australia, I can barely stand to say this out loud. There's so much stupid in it. I'm afraid it might get loose like the teenage mutant self-cloning crawdads, crawmoms. Australia is a continent, not a country. Hoop! Yes. And you'd think with something like that, you could write back and go, no, really, I'm quite certain Australia is a country, not just a continent. But the young scholar did that, and the professor stood pat. The young scholar said, with her education levels, her expertise, who wouldn't know Australia's a country? If she's hesitating or questioning that, why wouldn't she just Google that herself? So, our young scholar fires off a lengthy email, to which the professor still responds, I will gladly re-examine your week 2 milestone project report. But before I do, I want you to understand that any error in a project can invalidate the entire research project. Research is like dominoes. If you accidentally knock over one piece, the entire set will also fall. Australia is a continent. It is not a country. That error made it nearly impossible for you to accurately complete your week 2 research outline correctly. As I mentioned above, I will look over your week 2 paper once again and see if you earned more credit than I gave you. Then our young scholar actually sent the professor a link from the Australian government's own website. Australia is both a country and a continent. It's the only country that is both. I provided a resource in the first email that clarifies that for you. If you need further clarification, Google the SNHU Shapiro Library that has that information. Again, I mean no disrespect, but my grade is affected by your assumption that Australia is not a country when in fact it is. And then finally, Professor Einstein writes back and says, thank you for this web address. After I do some independent research on the continent-country issue, I will review your paper. Research! Research! It is the only country that is also a continent. Jesus. She finally got a new grade. She got a B+. With the professor saying, there was a misunderstanding about the difference between Australia as a country and a continent. There wasn't a misunderstanding. She was goddamn wrong. She's a moron. But, oh my God. I'm not going to resist the urge. I just feel like I know how that professor voted in 2016. Does our side do that? Are we that stubborn and hidebound? Oh, there's an idea. Billable Rick says, self-cloning mutant crawfish? Isn't that one of the products that Horn Nutraceuticals advertised for sale on your program in the last year or two? Perchance, are they related to Alabama sex clams? Well, Alabama sex... Only to the extent that they both, well, live in or near water. But I don't know that Alabama sex clams can burrow a meter into the ground of a cemetery. Man, it's getting close to Halloween. There is some really horrifying visuals that go with that, aren't there? You know, you open the casket and there's the teenage mutant self-cloning cromoms. Ron and Raleigh said, let Granny clamp it at him. Jethro will eat a mess. I'll take stupid professors for 400, Alex. Yeah, I know, Randy. I'm just having a hard time understanding how that happens at all. Bob, we will all be overrun with tribbles. I mean, crayfish, says Lee in New York. Murder hornet queens? Like gay murder hornets? Couldn't resist, says Steve in New York. Yes, and they are fabulous. Arthur says, Australia is not a country, Bob. It doesn't have any population. They just fall right off. Being on the Earth's underside and everything. Right. Tow it out in the environment and the front falls off. Yeah. And James caught that in Illinois. DeAndre Hopkins, swerving in and out of cars? I know, but remember, that's a maggot. That's a maggot for you. On and on and on. Meanwhile, Kristen O'Brien, aged 31 in Florida, has been charged with lewd and lascivious battery, as well as committing a sexual act on a child older than 12 but younger than 16. She's a teacher. Where? Could have saved this, but it's more in Monday. Where is she a teacher? Of course she is. She's a teacher at a Christian school. Kristen O'Brien was a teacher at United Brethren in Christ Academy, a small private academy in the Daytona Beach area. The student's mama confiscated his phone and discovered inappropriate Instagram messages from Ms. O'Brien. Yeah. And Ms. O'Brien admitted to the mother that she had a crush. The 31-year-old Christian lady had a crush on the 12-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, that's how it is there in Christianity world. Right. Hey, by the way, this is Conversation Radio. If anybody wants to engage in any, or maybe you're just worn out from all the moranity of the past weekend. Maybe you're just ground down to a nubbin from the pre-election stress. But if you do want to check in, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. 304-574-8178. And, of course, the stress line, 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. James in Illinois, the continent of California, there's a longstanding theory that California is drifting into the Pacific. After this happens, will it once again be the Bear Republic? Will it be a continent and a country? Will there be a test? Will Nancy Pelosi be its first president? Will President Barron Trump declare war on it? Oh, my God. Little moron. Nah, California would just be an island. It wouldn't be big enough to be a continent. Australia is a continent. But Australia had to overcome years of continental bigotry before the geologists and geographers finally decided that, yes, Australia is a continent. let's check back in on the debate. Not the debate. If nothing else, just the historical record-making in advance of the miserable business of putting another religious maniac on the Supreme Court.
It is a nomination which comes before us when the rules of the Senate and the rules of the Senate Judiciary Committee are being twisted and turned to create a political opportunity for Senator McConnell and his side of the aisle. And sadly, it is a moment in time when a nominee for the Supreme Court wants to bring to us a political way of thinking, a legal way of thinking, I should say, a legal way of thinking, which I believe is inconsistent with progress in this country when it comes to human rights and civil rights. Under originalist theory, we may never have had Brown versus Board of Education and the other cases I mentioned. What a loss for this great nation. That's not what we need on the court. We need people on the court who are realists, who will look at the law and the Constitution in real terms and not ideological terms. And the notion that this justice is being hurried before us in the hopes that she will eliminate the Affordable Care Act in the midst of a pandemic certainly is worth noting. It's one of the reasons, one of many of the reasons, that I'll be voting no on Amy Coney Barrett with her nomination to the Supreme Court. And I yield the floor.
Carolina.
Thank you. As chairman of the Judiciary Committee, it's my honor to
just in time, it's precious, Lindsay.
Nomination, which I think is historic in many fashions, all positive from my point of view. We have on before the committee the nomination of Judge Barrett, who currently sits on the 7th Judicial Circuit. She is one of the most impressive people.
Left out the part where she sits on the 7th Judicial Circuit because Mitch McConnell blocked the nomination of a woman of color who would have sat on that in that very self same seat, you know, because Barack Obama was only allowed to be 3/5 of a president. Right.
Holmes, the director, he's done such a great job of, you know, the Judiciary Committee has done a lot of things, some contentious, some not, but I want to thank Lee for shepherding this nomination and the fine work he's done. Mike Fregosio, Mike, I got your first name right anyway, just outstanding. Terrific job. The permanent nominations unit for the Judiciary Committee includes Laura Miller, Raja Churchill, Tim Rodriguez, Watson Horner, Akil.
So this is the part where Precious Lindsay gets down to just, you know, reading names. It's deeply depressing to watch this happen to our country. And understanding that all it takes for this much bad to happen to a country is for 51 people to be so hopelessly feckless that they're willing to do tremendous harm to our country in the name of the blunt force exercise of political power. Holy shit. Okay, let's run over to the stress line and check in with Reggie. Hey, Reggie. Oh, Reggie. Reggie. Just a minute. I don't know what happened to Reggie. Okay, let's try Scott then in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday to you. May I interest you in a large steaming pot of self-cloning mutant crayfish?
Oh, yeah. Dig into your toy chest and get me your Tonka toy earth mover, and I'll lay down under the table edge, and you can just shove them right in.
Delicious with sweet taters.
Yum, yum.
Got to have a little remoulade, a little drawn butter.
Oh, man. I can't remember the last time I had crawdads. It's got to be 40 years ago. Somebody dared me to eat them. And I had a couple. I didn't much like them, but I'm funny that way.
I'm not crazy about them because I think they taste like dirt.
Well, now, on the other hand, having grown up in the mid-Atlantic in Virginia, Maryland blue crabs are, you could just keep shoving those
always
toward
yeah
me, and I would just
we know how much Darlene loves soft shell crab. I think that's pretty much her favorite thing in the world.
I've never had one of those.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Although crab cakes, I like crab cakes too. God, now I'm hungry, Bob. See what you do to me. I want to tell you what I did last night, but first I want to tell you what I saw on MSNBC earlier last night.
Okay.
And that was Senator Angus King, the independent of Maine. He made a point that I had never really gotten my head around until he brought it up, talking about originalism in the minds and hearts of Supreme Court justice and federal justices, judges. And I don't know why this never dawned on me, but the flaw in the originalist argument, one of many, is when the Constitution, I forget what chapter and verse it was, but when the Constitution talks about having an army and a navy, they left out the part about the Air Force. And that would, as Senator King said better than I, that would lead you to think that our founders hadn't considered that. But if their originalist state of mind is nothing that they didn't consider can be part of modern law, then why do we have an Air Force? Why do we have Trump's much vaunted Space Force? They surely didn't think of that, and I know, stop calling you Shirley. But have you heard that argument before? I've never heard it.
No, I've heard that. That is primarily the argument that gets made whenever anybody brings up so-called originalism. I mean, Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago said, somebody said, well, Mayor, are you an originalist? She said, I am a black woman who is a lesbian. No, I am not an originalist. I wasn't even a person as far as the people who wrote the Constitution were concerned. Hell no, I'm not an originalist.
But it does, you know, and what do they say when you toss that out to them? There's no way for them to argue it away because it's right there. The Constitution doesn't say a single word about the Air Force and the Space Force or neutron bombs or any of that shit. I don't know. It just troubles me when people are just that stupid. And not just stupid, but willfully stupid. Not just willfully stupid, but irretrievably willfully stupid. And I just hope that there's something on TV and they stay home on Election Day, because we don't need them out there making a bigger mess of things. I mean, on the one hand, I'm okay with people voting, but goddamn, vote like you've got some fucking sense, you know? It just troubles me.
No, you don't ask. You don't ask for much, do you?
No, I guess I don't, Bob. But what I did last night, I was flipping through the old on-screen program listings guide on the TV, and I noticed on HBO, a movie I hadn't seen in a while was playing. So I it was like midway through it. So I fired up the HBO Max app so I could watch it from the start. The 1999 Paul Thomas Anderson film, Magnolia. Have you ever seen Magnolia?
I don't think I have.
Oh, it's on. It's also on Amazon Prime for a couple of bucks. You owe it to yourself to watch that film. If you think the world that we live in today is batshit, off the wall, crazy, Full Tilt Boogie edition, then watch Magnolia. And you know who Paul Thomas Anderson is. He also did Boogie Nights.
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, this was just as wild and crazy as Boogie Nights was. But instead of being about adult films and the people who inhabit them, this was about Los Angeles and the intersecting of lives is the best way that I can put it. And it's got a stellar cast. It's got Melinda Dillon. It's got Tom Cruise. It's got the late, great Jason Robards Jr. It's got the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. Fire that up tonight. If you get all politicked out, you and Agnes may not like it because it is a little disturbing in places. But God damn it, it was a good film. Magnolia, 1999, Ask for It by Name. And do you know whose kid Paul Thomas Anderson is?
No.
I'll give you a hint. The Love Boat. Ernie Anderson, the famous booth announcer who worked for ABC for a long time.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, you know, having grown up in the San Fernando Valley, when Paul Thomas Anderson was growing up with a daddy like Ernie Anderson, who back in his Cleveland days used to pal around and work with the late, great Tim Conway, who was originally Tom Conway, but there was already one in SAG, so he had to change his name to Tim. But he was still funny as just all get out. But anyway, that's my movie viewing tip for you. Watch that movie. I think you'll... If you're anything like me, I think you might like it. There's something weird with the audio. Is your audio hooked up correctly?
Yes. I have no problem. Okay. You sound fine.
All right. Well, maybe it's on my end.
Well, hey, I've got it's Moran Monday, so you remember the story? Maybe you weren't even listening. I don't know. A few weeks back when Bob Murray, who spent his entire life trying to stop coal miners from getting black lung benefits.
Yes, I remember him well.
And
not fondly, but well.
And he had filed for his own black lung benefits.
Yes, I remember that. How'd that work out?
After saying a couple of years before, oh, no, I was in the mines all the time. I don't have black lung. Ain't no such thing as black lung. Well, the gates of hell swung wide.
As they so often do.
At the tender age of 80, cut off in his prime, Robert Bob Murray, coal thug, has taken to pining for the fjords.
He has left us.
He is no more. He is singing with the bloody choir eternal.
Yes, and he's down there shoveling coal in the deepest, hottest pits of hell as we speak. Is that what you're getting at, Bob?
Pineapple, reverse pineapple for Mr. Murray, reverse pineapple for Mr. Murray.
Well, I take a moment, a very brief moment, to note his passing, and then I'll put on my party hands, get my noisemaker, and dance for a wee bit. And if you think Trump's
I don't hear you sniffling.
If you see Trump, if you've seen Trump dancing to YMCA, which I think should be a federal crime, goddammit, my dancing at this news will surpass any move Trump can make. So, with my party hat and my noisemaker and my flip-flops, what a sight that is, Bob. I wish this were Bob Horn of Vision as opposed to Horn Radio. People would just... Birds would stop in midair and drop from the sky. It's such a sight. But anyway, how are you doing? Are you okay? Are you holding up?
I had a lovely weekend of barbecuing.
Oh, I saw the pictures, Bob.
Oh, it was yummy. Still is. And
mercy.
My friends over at Secret Sandwich Society were thrilled to pieces. They just loved it. They have worked their asses off during this whole pandemic, and I just wanted to do something nice, so I took brisket and I took pork butt and some Kaneka sausage, and wow,
you're a good human, Bob. We always knew that, but this just adds yet another layer of goodness.
And then it did my heart good. I guess Ferg decided he was in a brisket mood. And damn, that boy can put away some brisket when he gets hungry.
Oh, I'm sure. Can't we all?
But there was a downside to it all. I cannot to save my soul find my Foley food mill, so I didn't get to start working on the chili this weekend.
Now, refresh my memory. The Foley food mill. I know what a Foley artist is, but what does the Foley food mill do?
Well, it's like a pan or a pot, you know, handle and everything, but it's got a perforated bottom and this sort of fan-like device that turns with a crank in it and pushes food through the sieve.
Ah.
And so what I need it for is when I make my homemade chili, I don't just, you know, use some chili powder and say, thick it. I get whole dried chilies and rehydrate them in boiling water for like 30 minutes. And then put them in that Foley food mill, and that way the seeds and the seeds and the skins, which are undigestible, are left behind. But you get this beautiful brick red chili sauce that's hotter than
three suns.
Yes, and use that and mix that with the broth from the brisket, and that forms the soup part of your chili.
Oh man. I'm going to come live with you, Bob.
And then you see, this is the whole reason behind the horn in one of these days.
Yeah.
After all these years of talking about all this stuff, you know, we'll have the greatest hits. We'll have the stuffed trifold pork loin. We'll have the chili. We'll have the biscuits and dirty gravy. We'll have the pulled pork. We'll have the regular brisket. We'll have ribs, you know, chicken, the works. If we can ever figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah, but the thing is, and certainly this has crossed your mind, Bob, and I think it was in a movie. It was one of the major plot points of a movie years ago. Don't you run the risk of the Horn family liking it so much, they just move in, they start having their mail delivered at your place?
There are worse things, but, you know, hey. We would love to have an increase in the liberal progressive population of this county. I mean, who knows what we might accomplish.
Are there any vacant monasteries or convents up that way? I mean, we could have a fund drive, a big old bake sale, and buy it and open up the Horn University. Now, how would that be? Have visiting teachers and professors come in to set us straight? On reality-based reality.
Yeah, teach us about how Australia is a continent, not a country.
Well, yeah, that would be on the first day they'd talk about that. There were maps and pointers and all that good stuff. There's all kinds of things we could do when we take over. And it may be, we may be taking the first step toward that, bringing rationality back to American life. Come November 4th. And it won't happen overnight, and Biden may not be the guy to do it. But step one is to put the fucking brakes on the Trump team, the Trump machine.
Oh, and speaking of which, putting the brakes on and whatnot, you know, I posited last week that with his remarks on civil unions, Pope Frank is actively punking Donald Trump. Specifically in regard to this god-awful theocratic nightmare of a Supreme Court nominee. You know, he basically rebuked the belief of one of his flock.
Yeah.
Bunch of flockers. well, at the time I said I think Pope Frank is deliberately punking Nitwit Nero. And today I got, or this weekend I got what I consider to be confirmation of that fact. He created the first African American cardinal.
Well, I guess you didn't hear the breaking news about the D.C. Archbishop or Cardinal or whatever, the black fellow.
What happened?
The Grand Cyclops or Kleagle of the Klan down in somewhere in the South shot himself. He was just so dismayed that the bishop had nicer robes than he did, and he couldn't take it. He just couldn't take another minute of it.
But the thing is, this was the archbishop who had pointed out that Trump's trip to the church across the street in Lafayette Square, he said the church had been badly used and was kind of noisy in his criticism of the whole damn thing.
That Pope Frank, he's a wily old fella.
And you know,
give Pope Frank a cowbell, Bob.
A little cowbell for Pope Frank.
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
I'm old enough to remember when the Catholic Mass was in Latin and when the host was elevated, and by host I mean the round piece of flatbread, was elevated at the moment of consecration. The altar boy, long before altar girls, would... There was this little bell arrangement. It had three bells, and you would pick it up by the handle
ding-a-ling.
And ring it. And I never understood what the purpose of that was, other than folks dozing off in the back pews to call their attention.
Oh no! You've got to have bells. I mean, when you're having magic, you got to have bells and whistles.
Well, I never heard a whistle. But I heard them bells, Bob. That was one of the reasons I left the Holy Roman Church. I got so fed up with bells. I couldn't deal with
you and Edgar Allan Poe, the bells, bells, bells.
So old Pope Frank got himself a twofer in his Trump tweaking endeavors. Good for him. I mean, there are parts of obviously being a lapsed Catholic, I say a lot of nasty things about the church. But in my lifetime, he may be, John the 23rd was on the right track, but then he died. Pope Frank may be one of the better popes that has been upright and above ground in my lifetime.
Certainly better than old Carol Wotila or Benny the Rat.
Oh, those bastards. The German pope. We're not Nazis, we are Nazis.
Just the way you say that. Oh, and by the way, Terrace, and thank you, Terrace, for your help this weekend. Thank you very kindly. Coffee breaks over, Bob Murray. Eat shit, Bob Murray.
Yeah, back on your head. And in 20 minutes, the devil comes by in his motorboat. You know that one?
No, what?
And the people who die and they go to hell, and they're immediately struck by the absence of flames and suffering. Basically, all hell is a giant sewage of that, and you stand up there, and the sewage only comes up to about your breastbone. And they say, well, gee, this isn't so bad. We got to get used to it.
And then the devil comes by in his motorboat.
Yeah, crank up that Evinrude, devil.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Oh, God. Yeah. I got a million of them. Oh, Jesus. I just one more fucking week, Bob. And then the counting and the arguing and the flying lawsuits.
Yeah, then the really crazy shit starts.
I haven't seen briefs fly like this since the explosion at Harrods in London from a bomb put by the IRA in the underwear department. I mean, you talk about flying briefs, my friend. That's what it's all about. No, that's a hokey pokey. Well, you can figure it out. Maybe somebody will call in. What? I've only had two pots of coffee today. And
at least you're not jingling the spoon yet, so, you know.
No, I'm with my coffee intake for today. I got up a little early because in the run-up to Election Day, I'm getting up, going to bed earlier and getting up earlier because I want to. I haven't even unsealed the vote of the ballot from the election department mailing, and I've had it for like 10 days. And I understand the importance of voting early, but Bob, this is California. You know, a squadron of winged monkeys will fly out of my ass in formation, singing in four-part harmony, proud to be an American, before Trump wins in California. So I'm safe on that account. And voting early is not necessarily, you know, a primary concern. I kind of want to savor it. I want to sidle on up to it. And then when I do take it out of the envelope and get my brand-new black ballpoint pen with black ink in it, I can sit down and just go down that ballot. And I'm going to save the presidential race until the very last. And then I'm going to very carefully color in my little bubble next to the name of Joseph Robinette Biden. And by God, that will be a proud American moment. And then I'm going to hand deliver it wherever it should be hand delivered. I heard the libraries are taking ballots, so I may just go down to the library near me and drop it in the box there. I first voted in November of 1972 when I was 18. Was I 18? Yeah, in 72. I turned 18 June of that year, and it was Nixon versus McGovern. And I waddled on up to the voting booth, and we had machines back in those days where you flip those little switches. And, you know, when you're finished, you pull the big lever back and the curtain swings open. And it was a proud American moment. And I was proud to cast my vote for George McGovern. And I will be just as proud all these years later, 48 years later, to cast my vote for former Vice President Biden and Senator Harris. I can't tell you what a thrill it will be. And those people who don't vote, are not only are they sloughing off, but they're missing out. And they say, well, you know, voting doesn't matter. What does it matter? Well, look around you. Recount the past 4 years almost and tell me that it doesn't matter. It most assuredly matters. And as good or bad as Secretary Clinton might have been as a candidate and a president, when you do a side-by-side comparison between Secretary Clinton and Donald John Trump, well, God, the difference is obvious to anybody with a few viable brain cells to bang together. I mean, am I missing something, or am I absolutely right on?
I think you're more right on than maybe you know.
Well, You can go around to countries on this planet who have never had voting, or the voting that they've had has been rigged and worked and finagled and manipulated to such an extent that no matter who or what they vote for, that it doesn't matter. Because wasn't it Stalin who said it's not the
it's not a ma- it doesn't matter who votes, it's who count the votes counts the votes.
Yeah.
Or I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes.
And as much as I could have faith in the people that do the counting, there's going to be some people who have a vested interest in, you know, watching TV while they're trying to count. And you know these people, Bob. They are desperate. There's fear, flop sweat, and desperation around each and every one of them. And they know what, like I keep using the analogy, the big honking pile of poker chips at the center of the green felt-covered table. Everybody gets the chips. Whoever wins, you know, grabs all them fucking chips. And we can't let them win. And I don't mean to make a speech, but God damn it, people. We cannot let them prevail. Because if they do, then you may as well throw in the fucking towel. And I hate to be a pessimist about that, but I fear that that could very well be the end of us, at least this version of us.
Well, you know, you've been on a roller coaster or two in your life, haven't you?
Oh, I love roller coasters.
But you know that sense of agonizing anticipation when you're on the uphill side, and from the minute you start uphill, it's just a rising level of fear?
Yeah, that slow chain driven climb up the incline.
Yeah, and it's just, oh my yes. God, oh my God, oh my God. Well, we've been in that for 4 years. We've been on the uphill side of the roller coaster for 4 years. It's like a roller coaster that has no down, there's no whee going down. It's just all uphill anticipation and angst.
And dread.
Yeah.
That's the word, I think. If I had to apply it to various outcomes, the one that we don't want, the word I would attach to that is just dread.
Dread. Well, I would like I'd like to stop feeling that sense of dread. I'd like to feel, for a change, some possibility, some potential for good.
Well, we have it at our fingertips. If we only behave in a manner consistent with creating that, a world and a future that works appropriately and positively for all concerned. How many times have I said that on this show? And here we are. We're a week away from doing it, for those who haven't voted already. This is our opportunity. This is the torch of freedom that JFK talked about, the torch that was passed to a new generation. We can be, no matter how old we are, I'm just excited at 66 as I was at 18, 48 long, arduous years ago, Bob. You know, and my hand is out, and I'm ready to grab that fucking torch. Not to burn anything down, but to light the world, if not the world, the space around me and the people I encounter during the course of a given day.
Well, in honor of your optimism, I just cracked open a Diet Right Pure Zero Cola in your honor and toasted your optimism.
I'm going to have to order them from wherever you're getting them, because Ralph's doesn't have them, Vaughn's doesn't have them. I haven't been to Walmart lately. Target doesn't have them. And I thought maybe they stopped making them. Because, you know, they stopped, at least in my neck of the woods, it's been 2 years or 3 years since I've seen Diet Right in the 2-liter bottle. And it pisses me off.
Oh, I know. We've had this conversation. Poor Ben Birch out in the greater Chicagoland area is positively bereft. Because Coca-Cola has announced the absolute end of Tab.
Oh, I heard about that. I never much cared for Tab because I'm not a big
but there
salesman.
Are people out there who were devoted.
Oh, I know. And I feel for them.
And, of course, one of my favorite lines from Caddyshack, you want a Fresca?
Yeah,
but because I just realized I was chugging it along, and then I went, ooh, I got to stop. I can't have Fresca anymore because of one of my medications. It doesn't work well. It it interferes or impedes or whatever.
Because of the citrus.
No, because
element,
of the grapefruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Fresca.
Wink?
Oh, Wink Squirt.
The sassy one from Canada Dry.
Yeah, I remember Wink.
Oh man.
And like I said, Squirt, you've had...
Wait a minute, I'm tall. I'm not that short, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we've talked about it before. Back in the 70s, the late 70s, everybody likes tuna salad. There was this stuff called Tuna Twist. It came in a little box, and there were two envelopes, like Knorr soup envelopes. And you'd open a box of this stuff and rehydrate it with a little bit of water. And then after it sat for a while, you'd add the tuna that you had drained, the canned tuna, and then, mayonnaise, and maybe you'd squirt a mustard or whatever. And it made a nice little, tuna salad without chopping up celery and onions and stuff. Because all those goodies and the spices were all dehydrated.
Yeah.
In the envelope. And I haven't seen it for 50 years, 45 years, whatever it is.
Well, my friend Ging made three wonderful things this weekend. She made me a big hearty serving of Thai lob mo, which is this incredibly spicy ground pork mixture.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, it was hot. Jesus, hot.
Hotter than Bob Murray's ass?
And some nice spicy Penang curry, and then specifically for Agnes, her very own pot of, get this, kimchi beef soup.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wunderbar. Awesome.
They don't call They don't call your neck of West Virginia almost heaven for nothing.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad she's cooking again.
And speaking of, I was speaking of heaven, but now let's speak briefly about hellish things. You didn't happen to see 60 Minutes last night, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, the part that everybody was watching, yes, I did. I mean,
I just...
I know.
Just the effrontery is just coming out of each and every.
It's just shocking to see how stupid one person can be.
It is. It's sad too, in a way, you know. And everybody watched it. I bet you they got a landmark rating in the broadcast last night, you know. And he couldn't say enough, not to her face, obviously, but he couldn't say enough horrible things about Leslie Stahl, you know. And he kind of got tweaked her a little bit, but this delusional, demented, inept fool of a president with a small P, not a capital P. I just. You know, the books and the movies and the documentaries that are going to come out of these past 4 years, our eyeballs are going to be glazed over. There's going to be so much of it.
The tell-alls from maggots inside the administration trying to rehabilitate their careers so they can have jobs again that don't involve saying welcome to Walmart.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. What do you put on your resume if you've been misfortunate enough to be on his staff for 4 years or 2 years or 3 years or 1 year or 6 months? How do you account for that space on your resume? You know, I just... cock teaser at Roosterama, you know? I don't know. I just don't know.
Titanic deck chair rearranger?
Yeah. Yeah, because you got to put something, because they don't like blank spaces on your resume. They like for you to account for your time and show your work, you know? God damn, these poor people, they'll be lucky if they can,
Chuck Schumer is ineffectively talking right now. Let's check in with him for a minute, shall we?
Oh, boy, yes, let's do.
Leaders of the American people, while they stood in line to vote. Leader McConnell has lectured the Senate before on consequences of a majority's action. You'll regret this, he told Democrats once, and you may regret it this a lot sooner than you think. Listen to those words. You'll regret this, and you may regret it a lot sooner than you think. I would change just one word. My colleagues may regret this for a lot longer than they think. Here, at this late hour, at the end of this sordid chapter in the history of the Senate, the history of the Supreme Court, my deepest and greatest sadness is for the American people. Generations yet unborn will suffer the consequences of this nomination. As the globe gets warmer, as workers continue to fall behind, as unlimited dark money floods our politics, as reactionary state legislatures curtail a woman's right to choose, gerrymander districts, and limit the rights of minorities to vote, my deepest, greatest, and most abiding sadness tonight is for the American people and what this nomination will mean for their lives, their freedoms, their fundamental rights. Monday, October 26th, 2020, it will go down as one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the United States Senate. I yield the floor.
Mr. President.
Majority Leader.
No, this ought to be nauseating.
I think my remarks may encroach somewhat on the time previously set for beginning the vote. I ask consent that I be allowed to finish.
without objection.
Well, his hand's looking a little bit better.
Well, this evening, the Senate will render one of the most consequential judgments it can ever deliver. We will approve a lifetime appointment to our nation's highest court. Since the ink dried on the Constitution, only 114 men and women have been entrusted to uphold the separation of powers, protect people's rights, and dispense impartial justice on the Supreme Court. In a few minutes, Judge Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana will join their ranks. This body has spent weeks studying the nominee's record. We've examined 15 years of scholarly writings, about 100 opinions from the Seventh Circuit, and testimonials from legal experts running the gamut from close colleagues to total strangers. There have been one-on-one meetings for every senator who wanted one, and a week of intensive hearings. All of it, has pointed to one conclusion. This is one of the most brilliant, admired,
corrupt,
and well-qualified,
theocratic,
qualified nominees,
religiously insane, cultish,
intellectually, Judge Barrett.
Yeah. By the way, you got a note from Glenn in San Diego, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, you could drop dead tonight. Vote now. Stop what you're doing and vote now. Take your ballot down the street to the library and give it directly to one of the team of humans posted there to ensure that your ballot goes directly to the registrar of voters. Fuck Trump. He's persona non grata in California, but there are a slew of issues and candidates on the ballot of extreme importance. Some of the races are too close to call. Uber and Lyft have spent $22 million. Yeah, I saw this. This just blew my mind. More than any amount spent on any ballot measure in our country's history to prop up Prop 22. They need to be destroyed and replaced with a worker co-op. That's just one issue, Scotty. Vote and vote now.
I will promise to you, to Glenn, and to the Horn family at large that I will fill my ballot out tonight, and I will take it down whenever the library opens tomorrow. That's my solemn pledge, because there's just no way I can do it today. Because I see, unlike some people, who they go for the most clever name of the judge that you've never heard of on the ballot, and I did that one year. A couple of cycles ago, we had two judges, both of whom had rather quirky names. And I didn't know a thing about either of them. And this was the foolishness that I engaged in. I picked the name I liked better. Well, if you're picking a judge, you owe it to yourself and the people under whose gavel their fate may lie to study up on who the fuck you're voting for, or leave that space blank is probably a backup. But better yet, figure out who these judges are, what their goddamn reputation and record is, and then vote accordingly. I'll never do that again, because the dummy that I unfortunately voted for got seated. And I think he was thrown off the court because he was just batshit crazy. One of these religious right-wing types, you know, under his robe. God knows what he was doing under there. But it's just too important to
put
take
on top
that
of his head. He had one of the little propeller hats, right?
Well, yeah, probably.
Glenn says to Scotty and all Californians, Uber is offering. Is this even legal? Are you kidding, Glenn? Uber's offering a 50% off for a ride to the polls. Take advantage of it and vote against them.
See, that's an inducement. Aren't there laws that you
well,
cannot
there used
be,
to be
offered something of value for your vote? I, yeah, that's, I think somebody needs to look into that, because that's not sporting play.
But don't I remember a story from a few years back from, like, a polling place in Beverly Hills where they put out a spread for the voters? You know, the caviar and lark's vomit canapes and wolf nipple chips and that kind of stuff.
What about the crawdads, Bob? The self-replicating crawdads.
The self-cloning crawdads, the craw moms. Yep.
Yeah. I sent you, by the way, when you were talking about genetic engineering and stuff with these crawdads. Back in the 80s, doing the overnight shift in Kansas City radio, I happened upon an item that in some laboratory somewhere, they were trying to infuse DNA from fireflies, the glowing thing, into tobacco plants. For what reason, I forget. But the only benefit I could see is if it's a dead of night, you want to smoke, you can find your cigarettes and get them. Yeah, yeah. Where's my Luckies? Oh, there they are, glowing, my little nightlight Luckies. Jesus. I don't know whatever came of that. Maybe I ought to look that up and find out if there are, in fact, cigarettes that glow in the dark. I won't smoke them, and neither will you.
Hey,
but at least
speaking of which, today is day 42.
All right, Bob.
6 entire weeks without a cigarette.
You have spent two full days more being a non-smoker than Jesus spent in the desert, fasting and praying and being tempted by the devil.
Well, I've been tempted by the devil, if cigarettes count as the devil.
Well, they are.
Or maybe tobacco companies, in my case, R.J. Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah. I ought to send you that book that I read about 6 or 8 years ago by Robert Proctor. He's a professor, college professor somewhere out here in California, called Golden Holocaust. It is the definitive history of tobacco, not just in this country, but in the world. And I know that if someone is stuck on smoking and they have not chosen to do the right thing for themselves and their families and their health, that all the book learning in the world about the topic isn't necessarily going to change anything. But anybody who wants just to know what an insidious plant the tobacco plant is, and the horrid uses. It doesn't have any. You can't eat it. I don't think you can make clothing from it of any degree of quality. The only thing you can do is grind it up, put it in paper or into a pipe, set it on fire, and inhale the fumes.
I do know that indigenous peoples in on this continent tended to light it and wave it as a cleansing agent.
Yeah.
You
keep
don't
the bugs away.
Yeah. Some rolled it up and stuck it up their noses and breathed and, you know, got a little buzz off of it.
Yeah.
That was what was reported, like down in the Caribbean and so forth. But
the Native Americans,
it was sacred.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a 2-pack-a-day habit with additives and God knows what was in the paper, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm still using these godforsaken patches, because I mean, 6 weeks later, and I know our buddy Hoghead in the chat room said, "Come on, Bob, take the training wheels off. Give up the patches." And I will at some point.
No, you don't want to do it until you're absolutely ready.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Because, I mean, it just, they don't last long. But, man, when they hit, it's like, I want one. Mm. And being able to put one of those obnoxious little patches in my mouth, you know, 2 milligrams, and it's gone.
Well, I told you this a couple of times before over the years. I quit my 2-plus-pack-a-day habit in August of 1999, okay? And to this day, there are times when it will strike me out of nowhere, gee, it'd be nice to have a cigarette. But I know, I'm like a booze hound. I know that if I light up the first one, I'm hooked again. because that's just how my
One's too many and a thousand's not enough.
There you go. There you go. And God knows I smoked. I mean, I used to kid years ago when I smoked Raleigh's and Bel Air's. Those coupons, you can get a toaster, a blender, a vacuum cleaner, an iron lung. Well, I just
An iron lung.
Jesus, lung transplant. How many coupons do I need to get a new left lung, doctor? I don't know, man. I just admire the hell out of you for taking that courageous step. God knows it's a courageous step. And those who were never smokers don't understand it, or at least not in the same way that you understand it and I understand it and former smokers understand it. It's a monkey on one's back, which is like, I would dare say that it's almost like mainlining something in terms of the grip that it has on you, you know? And, you know, of course, now the tobacco industry says, well, there's nothing, it doesn't meet the classical standard of addiction. He said as he sold another pack to a 14-year-old who wanted to light up. Motherfuckers. I'm sorry, Bob.
No,
I'm rambling.
Know. Well, the Little Green Men of DHS are getting the little green goons, the little green fascist goons of the DHS are getting ready to be deployed to American cities, according to Ken the Cooch Cuccinelli.
Oh God!
We have teams ready to go as needed. We don't have any specific intelligence that suggests any particular threat of violence. You know, except for the fact that there's a bunch of right wing assholes like Josh Burpstein and Dill Beagle.
Yeah.
Out there saying they're coming up with exotic weapons to take out the Nazi commies. Jesus.
Do most people realize what fools those people are?
Somebody listens to them. Somebody keeps them on the air.
I really think that it's almost time to reconsider the 1996 Communications Act. I know that it wouldn't apply to online and internet and stuff, but look at where we've come since that became law. The gates were flung wide open. There's no regulation to speak of, you know? And I'm talking about AM and FM radio, these fucking Salem, you mentioned 970 in New York, which I believe is a Salem station, which is to say a right-wing religious station in New York City. I believe it was 970 a.m. that McGillicuddy was quoted on. You mentioned it earlier in the program. I mean, it's just the fairness and equal time are not un-American. You know?
Yeah.
People are better able to decide if all sides are heard on a particular issue or argument or topic. And if we've lost our ability to hear all sides, you know, we are screwed. And that's what they want. That Showtime series, four, six-part series that Russell Crowe was in, I commend that to anybody who's willing to invest, you know, six or seven segments about the rise of not only Roger Ailes. Oh, and he's got a sordid story. It's called The Loudest Voice. And if you have access to Showtime, you know, hold your nose and watch that. Breathe through your mouth. I mean, you don't want to die. But if you read that book that this series was based on, The Loudest Voice in the Room by Gabriel Sherman. I'm telling you, even back when he was doing media consultant for Nixon in 68, this is what he was up to. He wanted to have a right-wing media empire even back then. You know? These folks are not to be trusted. And that's what they have been up to. and even further back. I mean, they did it with newspapers. You had newspapers that were just rabidly right-wing. And why don't we learn? Is it that the previous generation dies off and there's no elders to spread the word and to tell the tales and to give the truth? Maybe I've answered my own question. And that's what I like about being this age. I have some context and some history that I can bring to the discussion. You know, and hopefully younger folks will get on the bandwagon and just look at it with clear, unblinking eyes and say, enough. That's what we're up to come November 3rd. Enough. We have just got to put our foot down and say enough.
Enough already. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm rambling, Bob. Maybe I ought to free up the line for another person.
Well,
it's
not rambling. I mean, it's...
Well, sometimes I feel like I cover the same territory, but it's important shit. I mean, and it's not shit. It's just vital to our future. I mean, that's what the poker chips, the big stack of chips at the center of the table, that's what's up for grabs.
All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, just a reminder as we move toward the end of the program, Charlene in Rogues Island kindly put a $50 challenge on the table that has thus far gone unmet. And she'll add 20 more if somebody will jump in, or somebodies will jump in and knock that out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Brother Bob.
Well, I'm not leaning on you, but...
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm just saying, somebody's got to be the first person to step up. And if I'm that person today, let me put down $5 toward that worthy goal. And we'll meet the 50, and Darlene will kick in the additional 20.
No. Charlene. Charlene in Rogues Island. Yeah, a founding member of the sorority of Leans, but there's a difference.
What did I say, Darlene?
Yes.
No, I'm thinking of the I used
yeah,
to have
I,
the
and
biggest.
By the way, I mentioned soft shell crabs, and Darlene was off and running. Yeah, soft shell crabs, and let's see, let me find it here. It was too good. Yeah, soft shell crabs rule, and whole belly clams come in a close second. Those are those giant Ipswich clams, and my God, they're amazing. Then oysters, then shrimp, then scallops, then calamari. Oh boy, I'm getting hangry. Sadly, due to the pandemic, it was the first year in decades I did not have soft shelled crabs this summer. Hopefully, I can still order them from Steve from Georgia Stan's Distributor. I think Steve from Georgia Stan's Distributor only sends them hard shell. I could be wrong, but I think that's the case.
See, I need to get back east and go to the Eastern Shore, Ocean City, Maryland, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. There used to be a place, and it may still be there, in Fenwick Island, Delaware, just above the Maryland line, the Fenwick Crab House. So maybe somebody is in Delaware now and knows. Obviously, hard-shell crabs. But they had the best crab soup that I've ever tasted.
Oh, I love she crab soup.
Oh, my. I just... And it's been too long. I haven't been back there for years since the...
Well, I've told my story about the weird little place that I found entirely by accident. I was on my way to Harrisburg from D.C., and you do this bizarre thing where you loop around Baltimore and whatever. And right at the Maryland-Pennsylvania line, there's an exit. And I was just looking for gasoline. And it was snowing to beat the band in January. And I found this little whitewashed cinder block building with some ancient gas pumps out front.
Oh, wow.
And inside, they were making food. And they were making Maryland creamy she crab soup.
Yeah.
And it was, and on that frozen day, it was the most glorious thing I think I had ever eaten. It was just perfect for the moment.
Yeah.
And homemade crab cakes. And it's just, and that's the kind of place where you find amazing food.
Yeah, because there's an older woman probably in the back who's made her name with these culinary delights that are basic fare. Nothing fancy about them, just well presented and well created.
Oh, and Megan says, tell Scott it's still there, the Fenwick Crab House.
So that,
Fenwick Island, oh, Delaware.
Wow. We just sort of behind it. I forget the name of the street, but I mean, just within spitting distance from the side wall of the Fenwick Crab House was a cottage that we would rent for a week in the summer. And the joy of joys, we wouldn't even unpack. We just take all of our bags in and put them on the porch and just march on over to the Fenwick Crab House. And they'd spread newspaper all over the table and bring you a mountain of crabs with a little flag at the top.
Oh, and I was wrong. I was wrong. I have a link from Steve from Georgistan. Darlene, I hope you're still there, and jot this down. Crab Place, CrabPlace, crabplace.com, and slash, I think, soft, what's it say here? Yeah. softcrabs.asp, but just go to crabplace.com. If you sign up, if you give them your email address, they'll give you 10% off your first order. 2 dozen Maryland jumbo soft shell crabs, clean, frozen, and individually wrapped. Now only $194.66, so taking $19.46 off of that would be good. Half dozen frozen is now only $64.88.
It's not a bad price. For how many of them?
A half dozen, six.
That's not bad.
But a dozen frozen is $119.57. So,
well,
yeah.
In this time of trouble and turmoil and elections just a week away, comfort food, have you put on weight? Since all this started, not counting quitting smoking.
Well, I mean, we've got a shorthand term for it now. I tell Agnes, you know, I'm eating the world. Ugh.
I know what you're saying. And I caught myself doing it. I said, now, are you eating because you're hungry? Or are you eating just to quell your inner pain and angst and fear and despair? And I had a couple more mouthfuls before I came upon my answer. And then I came upon my answer.
Oh, wow.
You know,
listen to this.
When you're hungry.
Okay. Sauteed soft crab. There's a recipe.
Ooh.
2 cups dry white wine, 1/2 cup olive oil plus 1 tablespoon for sauteing, 2 garlic cloves, 1 mashed, the other thinly sliced, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 1 teaspoon kosher salt plus 2 teaspoons for seasoning, 8 live soft shell crabs cleaned with the top shell intact, 1 cup all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, and 1/4 cup flat leaf parsley leaves roughly chopped. Damn.
Mm.
I'm bookmarking that. Thanks, Steve. I'm bookmarking that myself. Me and Mayella Yule are going to save up our nickels and get some crabs.
Yeah, you got to have a couple of bags of hickory nuts to make that transaction.
No
kidding. Is that what they were, almonds or hickory nuts?
Hickory nuts. There's no almonds in Alabama.
Hickory nuts.
Yeah.
Reminds me of wild hickory nuts.
The fall crab run is here. 2 dozen hard shell crabs, colossal males, $246.99.
Colossal males.
I wonder how they'd fare against the self cloning lady crawfish.
Well, see, I had this vision of the sex slams putting on colorful silks and having little riding crops and entering the crawdaddies in races. This could be a whole new industry. You can have gambling and all kinds of goodies. And the crawdads would have to have colorful names. Mother-in-law nagging in the rear. Yeah.
Yes. Schlock, as Mark Twain said, of the German word Schlag, it can go all the way from Schlagwasser, which means bilge water, to Schlagmutter, which means mother-in-law.
You give us all a brief respite from the trials.
And by the way, Lou in PA
this isn't
says
to say we ignore them, but sometimes.
Lou in PA says when Scott from San Diego comes east to protest Nitwit Nero's refusal to acknowledge defeat, I'll treat him to some crabs. P.S. I live just outside of Harrisburg. So that's what you call incentive. And thank you. You guys just did something awesome. Thank you to Yuki. Thank you very kindly, Yuki, and thank you to an anonymous friend, and thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Charlene's challenge has been met, and some extra, which makes it which is awesome because let's see. We're down to about $100 to go to finish fundraising this evening, which is awesome. Because we're trying the experiment where we're going to try to raise a little bit more money to keep the lupine pest off the porch. And if we can do that this week, again, that means we'll finish October with everything intact and face the bold coming of November with holy shit, you know? It's weird. I had a note a few minutes ago. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Stephen New York says, Election Day, something feels almost like the closer we get to next Tuesday, the farther we get away from it. It seems almost unreal that the day we've been waiting for is nearly here. By the way, tab lover here. I used to travel around Manhattan to find it. Oops, sorry. But, I know exactly what it's just weird. It's just weird. Let's bring the audio up on the Senate real quick.
All right.
Well, I guess Moscow Mitch has stopped his prattling, and now they're just maybe going to, I guess they're going to call the roll, and we're going to watch a
quorum is present.
Oh, that's Chuck Grassley saying a quorum is present.
All post-cloture time has expired. The question occurs on the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana to be Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. A senator. Is there a sufficient second? There is a sufficient second. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Alexander.
Aye.
Ms. Baldwin.
No.
Mr. Barrasso.
Aye.
Mr. Bennett. Mrs. Blackburn.
Goodness! I'm surprised she didn't say goodness!
Mr. Blumenthal.
No.
Mr. Blunt.
Aye.
Mr. Booker.
No.
Mr. Bozeman.
Aye.
Mr. Braun.
Aye.
Mr. Brown.
No.
Mr. Burr.
No.
Ms. Cantwell.
No.
Mrs. Capito.
Aye.
Mr. Cardin.
No.
Mr. Carper.
No.
Mr. Casey.
So anyway, what it boils down to is what we hear there is the barest and most scant of Senate majorities is going to turn the Supreme Court into something that would be easily recognizable in, say, Iran.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you. Randy in PA says, give Bob a hurrah. Job well done on the not smoking. Thank you, Randy. Thank you very kindly.
Well, Jesus, October, we need to go out in a big, big way. as the Horn family, congregation, community. And it, like I've said a number of times before, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to do the whole budget with your pledge. All you've got to do is a little bit. And if everybody does just a tiny little bit in the grand scheme of things, it gets done. And then at the end of the month, we can all have our Halloween costumes on and stand up around the Horn table and raise our hard shell crabs high and give ourselves a huzzah.
Oh, and speaking and clack of, our little crab claws.
Yes, indeed, and those mallets. Speaking of Halloween costumes, Trump is like as bummed as I've ever seen him that the White House annual Halloween costume party had to get canceled. And he had his costume already, Bob. He was...
Was he going to go as the Great Pumpkin?
On the outside. No, 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 this is better. He was... brilliantly orange on the outside, blindingly white on the inside, and a stick put in an appropriate place. He was going to be the world's largest dreamsicle or creamsicle. And he's just,
well, hey, I almost screwed up and forgot. We've got somebody on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kevin. From Cape Town.
Oh, hey, Kevin, how are you?
Fine. I've been getting one of those sleepless nights, you know. I took a nap earlier, so I'm all charged up. Yeah, the gentleman on who you were talking to right there, he says, why don't people learn?
Yeah.
I forgot his name. Yeah.
Scott in San Diego.
Yeah, that's you're on with Scott in San Diego, too.
Oh, yeah, Scott. Sorry, Scott. Yeah. You have your fans over here on this side of the planet. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like whatever the powers that be, they're believing that it's better to be Caucasian than anything else on the planet. Like that old jazz song.
Indeed.
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And because we had here in Cape Town super spreader incident, and it was basically done by a bunch of prep school kids at a bar, and most of them come from privileged families, so it's better. And it's going, I'm going to assume that 80% of them at least were either white or what we call here in South Africa, colored, very wealthy colored. And again, it's that whole entitlement and privilege thing that the powers that be have a lot of people buying into. And I don't want to be told what to do by someone of color. And I've even with that.
Yeah.
You know, when I was like, you remember like years ago when I was living in Minnesota? Wasn't living in Minnesota, but I did a project in Minnesota.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and that day I crossed that bridge that collapsed 6 times.
Yes.
Yeah, I spoke to Agnes about it. And, and again, I was managing a project. The guys underneath me happened to be white. They all were. Treated them well, paid them well, paid them extra. You know, bought them lunch, gave them gas money. Couldn't take the fact that it was a person of color in charge of them. And I think that's what started the Tea Party movement. That's what all the resentment about Obama is, and everything. Bottom line. And that's what's causing these super spreader events in America now. It's the same thing over here as it is there.
Monumental stupidity? Or is it just, cussed assholishness?
That too. Yeah, whatever you want to call it, but I think, and, you know, it's not all, but I just think there's a certain collective mindset with a lot of, you know, because I hate to bring race into it. I really don't. I'd rather say people are just stupid, which that.
Yeah, but that just doesn't cover enough bases in Merca.
Yeah, but it happens here in South Africa because, trust me, Donald Trump has his fan club here in South Africa. Yeah, he has his fan club here in South Africa.
Well, I mean, is PW Botha still alive? I mean, that would be he'd probably be part of the Trump fan club, but I'm kidding. I was kidding.
but it's just, you know, and, you know, every time I flash my passport or in a situation where I have to use my passport, oh, you got a great passport, you know, because your president is great. And I'm like, who, Obama? And said, no, Donald Trump. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where I think, and to a certain degree, this is why, in a way, I'm kind of at peace with Donald Trump second term to a certain degree, and it may sound twisted in a way, is because I don't think America has suffered enough yet to get off of the high horse. Not the way the British or the Germans or most European countries have. And maybe that's what needs to happen to a certain degree. And, you know, I hate to see you guys suffer and things like that. But, again, it's one of those things I think that, unfortunately, there are too few of you. Like you and the Horn family. Because you guys make the minority.
Yeah, I mean, that's just true.
Yeah, you know, and because I've even seen that sense of entitlement here when I taught. Well, not here in South Africa, but when I taught in China and South Korea and Saudi Arabia. Trust me, that, you know, that sense of entitlement, I'm not going to be subjugated to someone of color or whatever. And it's sad. It's sad because, again, what did George Bush do for, you know, not for you personally, but those people? What did George Bush do? What did the Bush crime family do for you guys? What has Trump done for you? If anything, Barack Obama has helped more white people than he has black people because he saved GM. And the fact of the matter is, I would say, 80% of GM is still have whites on their payroll that are still in America. Because I've seen a lot more GM plants in China than I did see in America. I didn't see one that was open and operating. And I've been through Detroit once or twice in my journeys across country. But they're fully functional. You know, he saved Chrysler and GM. And those jobs aren't being occupied by Mexicans and other minorities.
I'm hoping against hope that we're not looking at a second term because, frankly, at this point in time, it feels like too much for my poor brains to be able to tolerate.
I'm hoping against hope too. Because I hate having to answer the question, how could you let this happen? You know? And I'm like, I didn't let this happen. I voted for the other side.
Well, what was the headline in the British publication on the day after the 2004 election? How can X number of millions of Americans be this stupid? Remember that?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the Americans, it was the Electoral College. Most Americans.
Not in 2004, it wasn't. I mean, that was still a stolen election. That was the second Bush term. That, you know, they did it by stealing Florida in 2000, and they did it by stealing Ohio in 2004.
You know, it's so funny, because it's starting to look quite good now. And that's how I got into your show. I mean, I got into your show through the Bush administration.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unfortunately, unfortunately, Kevin, we have run over, and I hope we can talk again sometime soon. I really appreciate you calling in. And
so again, I was just one of those sleepless nights. I was listening to the show, and so let me get in while I have a sleepless night.
I understand. All right, take care. Take care, Kevin.
So, Kevin, there's a lot of that going around.
You said there's a lot of that going around, Scott?
Oh, yeah. I mean, before it's over, we're all going to need industrial strength Ambien or whatever. And I
Thorazine really dart in the point. Neck. It's always worked for me.
That's right. Well, but I get Kevin's point about on some level we need 4 more years just to learn the lesson. But I would like to think that, you know, when the test paper is handed out on Tuesday, that we'll ace it, or that at least enough people will ace it, till we'll get a little gold star on our head, and the next 4 years. Of
remember, yeah, it's the national quadrennial one question IQ test. Ta-da!
There you go.
Hey, you guys have a good evening or morning, as the case may be, Kevin. Enjoy the coming of summer. You know, you're a month into spring there. I bet you spring is something fantastic there.
But it just goes right into summer. There's no real spring anymore. It just slides right up from winter into summer. You may get a weaker spring. Yeah. But we'll talk soon, Bob.
All right. Take care, Kevin. Okay. Indeed.
See you, Kevin.
And
see you, Bob. Bye.
Scott, take care. Bye. Kevin, later. Okay. And thank you. Thank you both for the conversation. Thanks, all of you, for joining in whatever manner you so choose, live and by podcast. Thank you to Herbert. Thank you very kindly. And thank you as well to Chris. Thank you, Chris. We will enter the program tomorrow. I guess the fundraising goal will be $350. But this is a hopeful start. Thank you all so very much for keeping this program on the air now into our 16th year, 18th plus overall. Thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. I think they're reporting the vote total now. Yay, 48 nay. How about that? Not a single courageous soul in the entire miserable Republican caucus. Sorry, bastards. Reminder, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at HeadOn.live, the best place to listen to Malloy. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben Birch asking earlier, where the hell is Bill Barr? Is he on a ventilator or in hell? Interesting. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe. Stay home if you can. Remember, bear the wise words of Paul from Parts Unknown from his note earlier this evening in mind. If you have to be out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer with you. Don't engage in indoor conversations where anyone is not wearing a mask. Keep your social distance. Make it 15 or more feet if you possibly can. And if you see somebody coming towards you, saying that Amy Coney Barrett, she's going to be a great judge. Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.